Wake up! The Joneses are redoing their garden! Love that porcelain paving and all that fencing. I knew it. They've been with their landscaper to Dewson. A mini digger! No wonder she was so smug at Zumba. Right, I want a sunken seating area. She won't have that.
For materials, tool hire, timber and paving. Don't waste time. Dewson's got the lot.
Like Tiralis porcelain paving from only £22 per square metre. Love it!
All trade prices exclude VAT at 20%. So now you can keep up with the Joneses.
And the Evanses.
And the Patels.
On a day where WWE already dropped one big bombshell this weekend when they made the announcement that they have purchased one of the two biggest Lucha Libre promotions in all of Mexico, we had WrestleMania Night 1, as if that wasn't big enough. We had all kinds of news that was breaking today about that, about injury news, but it was WrestleMania Night 1, and it was the triple threat match between Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk. That was our Night 1 main event. Nothing on the line. And that was really the story coming into this show. With nothing on the line, nothing at stake, no championships, it was not a number one contenders match, although it may end up that way. What would they do? Are they setting up for some kind of big shock ending to WrestleMania this year? Because the entire match was built around, where does Paul Heyman's loyalty lie? Right, he agreed the favor to CM Punk. I'm going to walk him to the ring at WrestleMania. I'm going to be in his corner. Roman Reigns does not like this. Seth Rollins is telling Paul Heyman, now you owe me a favor because I could have killed you the other week and I didn't do it. What would Paul Heyman do? That was the drama around this match. Yet Seth Rollins coming out on television talking about how this is going to be the most important triple threat match in the history of our industry, which is laughable, of course. They were really building it up, and you had to think, okay, something big must be planned for the end of this show. And they did. They did indeed have something big planned. Paul Heyman played a very big role in the end of WrestleMania this year. Paul Heyman leaves Las Vegas with Seth Rollins, as Seth Rollins picks up the win in the Night 1 WrestleMania main event. He defeats Roman Reigns and CM Punk. Paul Heyman has basically sold his soul to Seth Rollins, and that is how WrestleMania Night 1 goes off the air. And it opens up some very interesting possibilities now as we head into Night 2, because of course we have Cody Rhodes and John Cena coming up tomorrow night for the WWE Championship. And it appears on the surface that one really doesn't have anything to do with the other, or does it? Does this tie into the Night 2 main event in some way? Is there going to be some kind of connection between what we saw tonight and what we see in the main event tomorrow night? Now we're just sort of fantasy booking and riffing here and trying to figure out, you know, connect the dots. Is one, you know, connected to the other? Very possible. Or maybe it has nothing to do with it at all. One thing I will tell you, though, for a Night 1 that was very mid, we needed a main event like that. That main event was excellent tonight. And it was an excellent main event, and it was also a great ending, obviously. Even if you were somebody who, oh, I knew that was going to happen. It was so predictable. I saw it coming from a mile away. Even still, the execution, I thought, was brilliant. You know, the way they pulled it off tonight. Paul Heyman, my God, we had, it's very rare that you get a triple cross. You've seen double crosses, right? But a triple cross, that's hard to pull off. And Paul Heyman not only delivered a low blow to CM Punk in this main event, he delivered a low blow to Roman Reigns. I don't think I've ever seen this man this excited before. And I don't mean sexually. I'm talking about just taking his arm and driving it up into this man's nutsack as hard as he possibly could. He got in there deep. He got in there deep. He enjoyed that low blow because for 5 years now, he's had Roman Reigns bullying him, tormenting him, mistreating him. 5 years worth of anger and frustration taken out in one low blow. He made the most of it. He went for all of it, and he made the most of it. But without that main event, this Night 1 of WrestleMania would go down as the weakest of any of the ones that I've seen outside of COVID Mania. As it was, it was still a very mid show overall, but that main event really took it up a couple of notches. This show needed a main event like that. And so now we look ahead tonight too, and we'll see if there's a connection between what we saw here and what we see tomorrow night. We did have three title changes on this show. Jey Uso is the world heavyweight champion. I know that's going to upset some people, but too bad. You had to know this was coming. If you are upset by the outcome of this match in like a surprised way, like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that, then you haven't been paying attention. Because everybody should have expected that when this WrestleMania was over, Gunther was no longer going to be the world heavyweight champion. I don't know why anybody would have expected any differently. Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble. Why did Jey Uso win the Royal Rumble? Because he's over as fuck. And because he makes him a lot of merch money. He's a very big player for them when it comes to that merchandise money, which we all know is very important to WWE and TKO. That's why he's pushed as hard as he is. Because to their audience, they like the guy. They like the guy. They buy his merch. They buy his shades. They buy his shirts. And so they have tried to take him and do with him what they can, try to elevate him to a main event level. Even if people look at him and go, well, you know what? I don't really see him at a main event level. He's not the best in-ring performer in the company. The company itself has admitted this. Triple H was doing podcasts and radio interviews and all kinds of interviews this week, and he said as much. But to them, it doesn't matter. He came into tonight 0-3 against Gunther. Why would anybody have expected differently? That he would not walk out with the World Heavyweight Championship. So he got his big moment tonight. That was not the only title change. Jacob Fatu, in his very first WrestleMania match, walks out United States champion, which is awesome. And it will not be the only championship singles title that this man holds in the next 2 years in his WWE career. And I think a lot of people see the potential in him to headline a few WrestleManias himself. This is just the next step in that process. So he leaves WrestleMania as a champion. We also have new World Tag Team Champions in the New Day. They beat the Viking Raiders, but we also had a WWE Women's Championship match with Tiffany Stratton defending the title against Charlotte Flair. They went out there, and they did the right thing. And the right thing was to have Tiffany Stratton beat Charlotte, which she did. Charlotte Flair did the honors tonight. For Tiffany Stratton, she did not make it easy. When this match was over, Tiffany Stratton looked like she was in a fucking fight. It looked like she may have chipped a few teeth or lost a few teeth. I mean, she had broken teeth. She had a busted lip. She had a fucking bruise on her forehead. She looked like she was in a war by the time that match was over. And that's good. I mean, in terms of the fans looking at her when this match is over, it looked like she was in a war. I think they'll have more respect for her and they'll appreciate the effort that she put in. As a match, it's unfortunate because I didn't really like it. I was bored. I wish I could sit here and tell you that I really like this. It's like an all-time classic, like Charlotte and Rhea Ripley had a few years ago. No, it's really not. But in the end, when it was over, the fans were very happy to see Tiffany Stratton still with her championship, and it was the right call to make. I didn't think they would do it. I thought for sure Charlotte was walking out a 15-time world champion tonight. That may have been one of the biggest surprises for me on this entire show. And Rey Fénix, speaking of first-time WrestleMania matches, Rey Fénix got his first WrestleMania match, even though he wasn't supposed to. He was a replacement for the injured Rey Mysterio against El Grande Americano, and we'll talk about what happened there. But this was one of the weakest night ones that they have had in WrestleMania history. It was a very mid-show overall, even with the main event. And the main event elevated it a little bit, but even with the main event, it was still a very mid-show for WrestleMania. But for the main event, that was excellent. This is your WrestleMania 41, night number one review. I am the Solemn Monster. Always got to talk about the stage. Whenever we have WrestleMania, what kind of set, what kind of stage are they going to have? They got a pretty kick-ass stage this year in Las Vegas. I was hoping they would incorporate the whole Vegas theme and the casino theme, and they did. It's actually a really nice set. I don't want to sit here and start ranking it. Where does it fall in all the WrestleMania stages? I don't know that it's as good as 33 or 39. It's in that mix, though. I still think 33 and 39 are the best stages they've ever done. It's in that mix. It's in that conversation. I thought they did a great job with it. For the first time, they have fans on stage. They have stage seating on either side of the stage, And even because they have sort of an overhang, whatever you want to call it, and they have fans above as well, which is something that we've never seen before at WrestleMania. So that was very interesting. I don't even want to know how much those tickets cost. Can you imagine stage seating for WrestleMania? How much those tickets are probably going for? Probably VIP tickets. But yeah, so they got fans on stage. Hopefully nobody gets filleted tomorrow night during Cody's entrance when he comes out. So Triple H was in the ring to open the show, and he introduced everybody to WrestleMania. They shot off some pyro on stage. Hopefully they didn't kill any fans. They also had new curved announce desks. And so I don't know if this was just done to kind of play off the Vegas casino, like poker table theme, or if this is something that we're going to see going forward. I thought they looked great, but I don't know if that's going to be a regular thing or not. Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, Wade Barrett. That was our announce team for WrestleMania. And they opened night one of WrestleMania with the winner of the Royal Rumble, Jey Uso, getting the Alberto Del Dipshit treatment. Getting the, who's the other one? Sheamus, right? In 2012. We've had at least a couple of Royal Rumble winners before who have gone on to open WrestleMania. And so that is what Jey Uso got this year. He got the opening match treatment, but you know what they say. If you're not closing the show, you're opening the show. You don't really want to be in the middle. So he wasn't getting the main event. So they opened the show. That was the right place to put them. He opened the show against the Ring General Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. Three WrestleMania appearances, okay, for Gunther, including tonight. Three WrestleMania appearances, and for the third time, this man walks in as a champion. Every single WrestleMania appearance so far, he has walked in with a belt. Okay, so that tells you what they think of him. And that doesn't even count the championships he held in NXT and NXT UK before he came to the main roster. This guy's been a champion. Legitimately, he has to have been a champion for at least 85 to 90% of his run, going back to the NXT days. Like, he's done very well for himself.
Wake up! The Joneses are redoing their garden! Love that porcelain paving and all that fencing. I knew it! They've been with their landscaper to Deucen. A mini digger! No wonder she was so smug at Zumba. Right, I want a sunken seating area. She won't have that.
For materials, tool hire, timber and paving. Don't waste time. Deucen's got the lot.
Like Tiralis porcelain paving from only £22 per square metre. Love it!
All trade prices exclude VAT at 20%. So now you can keep up with the Joneses.
And the Evanses.
And the Patels.
So we get the introductions. Ding, ding, ding. Here we go. Gunther chops him early. And Jey comes right back with a shot that knocked him down. And so he immediately rolls out to the floor to regroup. They worked a body slam spot. I thought this was hilarious. They worked a body slam spot. And the crowd reacted. You would think this was like a recreation of Hogan slamming Andre. Picks up Gunther, he slams him down. So Gunther hit a superplex off the middle rope, followed by a dropkick and a powerbomb. Jey countered out of another powerbomb with a hurricanrana. Followed that with a spear and an Uso splash for a near fall. Gunther went outside, and he grabs his title, because they have the title on a little podium outside the ring. So he grabs his championship, and he makes like he's going to leave with it. Fans start booing, and the referee is telling him to come back. So he's standing, and now he hasn't left ringside yet, but he's outside, he's got the belt, and he's yapping about something. And Jey decides to go for a suicide dive. And so the referee had to dive out of the way, with the referee momentarily distracted. As Jey comes charging in, Gunther blasts him in the head with the belt. Just, you could hear the shot, he walloped him with it. And Jey Uso goes down. Gunther follows with a top rope splash, and he got a good near fall out of that, just to get people thinking that might actually be it. So then he applied a sleeper hold. Jey went for a rope break. Gunther pulled him to the center of the ring. Jey was able to get his foot on the bottom rope, and so they broke. So now Gunther attacks Jey. He's hitting him with strikes. And Jey is, he's taking them, and he's motioning like he wants more. Like, give me more. And he's got a smile on his face as this is going on. He's smiling at him. So Gunther chops him repeatedly. Jey fights back with some strikes of his own. So they trade blows until Jey drops him with a clothesline. Jay counters a powerbomb into a powerbomb of his own. Then he hit consecutive super kicks. He hit his spear. He hit an Uso splash. Then he went to another corner. And he climbed up top. And he hit another Uso splash. Then he climbed up in another corner. And he hit a third Uso splash. Instead of going for a cover, though, he decides to put Gunther in the sleeper. Sleeper is the same move that he applied to Jay's brother, Jimmy. When Jimmy was just bleeding all over the place a few weeks ago, he had him in the sleeper and Jay was, you know, cuffed to the rope, but he couldn't reach. So it was a play off of that. And I guess also all the times that Gunther snuck up behind this fucking guy and put him in a sleeper hold. So now Jay is using his own move against him and Gunther very quickly taps out, which surprised me. The fact that they did a tap out at all, but as quickly as it happened. And just like that, it's over. And for the first time in his career, Jey Uso is a world heavyweight champion. Jay had a look of disbelief on his face, as I'm sure many fans did, watching this show, the ones who were, you know, throwing furniture. So he had a look of disbelief on his face as he was handed the title. Jimmy Uso was all of a sudden in the ring. They showed some replays. And when they came back from the replays, there's Jimmy. And so Jimmy Uso is in the ring and the two brothers embrace in the middle of the ring and they end up leaving together through the crowd. I thought the match was fine. It wasn't a Matt classic, not by any stretch of the imagination. I thought the match was what it needed to be. We didn't have the over-reliance on super kicks that I was worried about because you get that in every Jey Uso match. Really, you get that in every Uso's match. But Jay has very much relied on that too much in his matches. And we had a few super kicks here, but not the constant stream of them that we see so many times in his matches. I liked how he worked a lot of Gunther's own moves and spots, you know, into the match in his own arsenal. This was not at the level of the matches that we are accustomed to seeing from Gunther. We have seen Gunther have some great fucking matches, including at WrestleMania. You know, he had a really good match with Sami Zayn last year. He had an excellent, just classic triple threat match a couple of years ago with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. And he's had some other great ones too. This will not go down as being one of the greatest matches that this man has ever had. And nobody, I think, should have expected that coming into this match. If you did, you were a fool. What I was hoping to see is that Gunther could go in there with this guy who was not used to being in this position. He's not used to being in this situation. This is a big stage for Jey Uso. And he's looked nervous all weekend. Like all the different interviews and stuff I've seen him in, he sounds nervous and he's just, you could tell, like it was probably weighing on this guy. And then I see before I went live, people in the chat saying that apparently Jey sounded like he was drunk or whatever during the post-show scrum. He sounded like he maybe had, what does Cody say? Maybe he had hit a few libations before he went out there. I wouldn't be surprised. The guy's probably been on pins and needles all week. He's probably shitting himself because he finally realizes, holy shit, I'm going to have all eyes on me. He knows that last year he had that terrible match at WrestleMania, and so he knew the eyes of the world would be on him. This is the biggest match of his life tonight. It was not the biggest match of Gunther's life. Nobody will mistake Jey Uso for being this great technician in the ring. Triple H himself, his own boss, was doing interviews this week. And I don't want to say that he was, you know, he kind of threw Jey under the bus because what he said wasn't a lie. But he flat out said, look, Jey Uso is not the best wrestler that we have on our roster. He's not going to ever be mistaken for some great tactician. But he has been able to establish a connection with the audience. They like the guy. You know, he comes out with new stuff. They buy his stuff. They do the yeet. I know that annoys some people, but again, there's a reason why Jay was put in this position in the first place. He didn't end up in the WrestleMania match tonight by accident. You know, he doesn't have to be your favorite on the roster. He's not my favorite. You know, if there was somebody I had to pick out of a lineup here from the roster, I enjoy their matches the most. He's not going to be in the top 10 for me, but that's not the point. He went in there and did what he had to do. He played his part, and they told a very basic story. This guy can't beat Gunther. He wrestled him three times. Every single time, he got beat. Then he won the Royal Rumble. Always got self-doubt. I don't know if I could do it. It's a very basic story, but it works. When you tell the story effectively, it can work. And it was a fucking slog for weeks until they did the angle with Jimmy. When Jimmy got all bloodied up, that was great stuff. All of a sudden, he gained this new confidence about himself. He had to go in there and win. If he would have gone out there tonight and lost, that's it. He's done. You send him out there tonight on that show and he goes 0 for 4, he's finished. Nobody will ever take him seriously again at a high level. So this, to me, this was the most predictable outcome for any match on this entire show tonight. But a much better outing for him tonight than the one he had with Jimmy in Philadelphia last year. We had a nice little moment there at the end with him and his brother. The fans loved it. And again, this is exactly what it needed to be. Plain and simple. And also, and I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again here. The story arc with Jey Uso, going back to 2020, okay, 5 years ago, talking 5 years ago, in the empty arenas, after Roman won the championship and they started the whole bloodline story. And he had to take a lot of shit from Roman, and he, you know, Roman was manipulating this guy and toying with him and playing with his emotions. You know, we're going back to those days here, and you look at Jey Uso then, and you look at where he is now. And it's pretty amazing, you know, to see how far he has come as a single, whether you like the guy or not. Because I think of Jimmy, who tore his ACL in that tag team ladder match at the PC, at the empty arena WrestleMania that year. If he doesn't get hurt and tear his ACL, I don't know that we're sitting here tonight talking about Jey Uso wrestling for the world championship. And you may think that's a good thing. A good thing, a bad thing, it doesn't matter, but it's amazing how things work out sometimes. That one injury probably changed the course of this guy's life. Because all he was one half of a tag team. That's it. But I don't think we're sitting here talking about this right now if it isn't for that. So to see where his story was and where it's come in these 5 years, I'm happy for the guy. I'm happy for the guy. Now, as far as what's next for him, I'm not going to sit here and book out his entire title run and tell you, okay, here's how long it's going to be, and here's everybody should, you know, wrestle and everything. Me personally, I don't think this goes any further than SummerSlam, if even that. This does not have to be a long title run. I don't want to see him have a super long title run. This was not about the title run. This, you know what this reminds me of? This is like Kofi Mania. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Kofi Kingston, but Kofi Mania was this thing that all of a sudden it came out of nowhere. And it was this great moment. You know, I was there. I was at that WrestleMania. It was the best thing on the entire show. When he beat Daniel Bryan and had that great moment in the ring with his family and he was the champion. Holy shit, who could have predicted it, right? And then after that, he had 6 months. And then we all know how he got beat, and he deserved a better ending. I will say that. He deserved a better ending than that. But it was about the moment. Nobody was looking at that going, man, Kofi Kingston, he needs to have a year as the champion. No. Fuck no. It's about the moment. That's the same thing with Jey Uso here. Nobody should be expecting a long title run. It was about the moment. He got his moment. But I don't think he goes more than... more SummerSlam at the absolute latest. But honestly, based on what we saw at the end of the show tonight, as far as who is likely going to be the one to take that title away from him, I don't think it's going to take even that long for us to get to that point. So as far as Gunther goes, that's also two losses in three WrestleMania matches. See, that I don't like. Gunther should not be losing more matches than he's winning at WrestleMania. He's only had a few matches, but he needs to reverse that trend next year because I don't like that. We need Gunther to get back to his winning ways. Where he goes at from this, I don't know. That I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with him next. I don't even know if they're going to do a draft. If they do a draft, they may move him. For all we know, he may end up on a completely different show. Thank you, guys. Almost 3,300 and counting in here as we are going through WrestleMania Night 1. Speaking of titles, let's talk about the tag team titles. The New Day, they challenge the War Raiders for the World Tag Team Championship here on this show tonight. The New Day entered with some AI-generated logos on their gear, which I'm sure is going to enrage a lot of people on social media. They were also wearing blue, what I think was giant Gonzalez-inspired gear, right down to the, they had the airbrushed abs on their costumes. So early in the match, Eric body-slammed Ivar off the apron onto the New Day on the floor. Ivar knocked down Kofi Kingston and Woods with a double handspring elbow. Woods came back with his honor roll clothesline. New Day set up for a double team move. Eric, though, made the save. Kofi gave him a trouble in paradise before Ivar hit Kingston with a spin kick. Ivar hits Kofi, right, with a top rope moonsault, where it looked like he may have slipped a little bit as he was doing the jump and may have landed a little bit on his own forehead, on his own face. But Woods broke up the cover with a flying elbow drop off the top. Woods distracted the referee while Kofi tripped Ivar off the ropes as he was going for their War Machine finish. So he tripped him up. New Day got rid of Eric, hit Ivar with their up, up, down, down finish, and Woods pinned Ivar to win the titles. So we have new World Tag Team Champions. Not much of a surprise seeing a Raiders loss at Allegiant Stadium. New Day knew they got away with one because they went outside. They grabbed the belts and they fucking sprinted out of there. They sprinted up that ramp as quickly as they possibly could until they got to the stage. Then they posed with the titles and that was the end of that. This was a very basic match. This was a very basic match. It was a Raw match is what this was. In front of a very quiet crowd that honestly did not seem to care very much about what they were seeing. Did not have a lot of heat at all. And I'll say what I said on my SmackDown review last night. I am still baffled by the decision to do this match at WrestleMania, but not do a TLC match for the SmackDown tag team titles, the WWE tag team titles, which is what they're doing on SmackDown next Friday. The titles that really have been the most competitive in this company now for several months. They're doing a TLC match, but they're doing that on TV. This, though, they put on the WrestleMania card. Make it make sense. I don't understand that.
Wake up! The Joneses are redoing their garden! Love that porcelain paving and all that fencing. I knew it. They've been with their landscaper to Jewson. A mini digger! No wonder she was so smug at Zumba. Right, I want a sunken seating area. She won't have that.
For materials, tool hire, timber and paving. Don't waste time. Jewson's got the lot.
Like Tiralis porcelain paving from only £22 per square metre. Love it!
All trade prices exclude VAT at 20%. So now you can keep up with the Joneses.
And the Evanses.
And the Patels.
We have a PM Punk. We saw CM Punk in the main event, but PM Punk has just subscribed. Welcome, PM Punk. He only comes out in the evening. We had Jade Cargill one-on-one with Naomi. The glow is gone. Naomi has new theme music. Sounds very generic, but I didn't get a great listen to it. But she does have new music, which she did need. And they got Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel to do a little bit for Jade's entrance here. He did a mock weather forecast or a weather report in front of a green screen that was supposed to be outside of Allegiant Stadium to let us know that a storm was coming. So Jade was in control until Naomi hit an X Factor as Jade was draped. She was draped. Her feet were on the apron, and so she took the X-Factor on the floor. They did a cool spot here where Naomi went for a blockbuster off the top. As she dove off, Jade caught her in a vertical suplex position and then delivered a jackhammer. Only got a two count. Jade went to the top. Naomi brought her down with an avalanche bulldog. Naomi followed with a split-legged moonsault for a near fall. Then Naomi applied a Rings of Saturn, which they identified on commentary. Jade powered her up to her feet, though, with Naomi on her shoulders. Then she adjusted. This was actually a pretty cool spot. So she has her on her shoulders in an electric chair position. And she spun her around into a powerbomb. And the fans reacted big to that. And she followed that by hitting Jaded, and she got the three count. Solid match. That's what I wrote here. Solid match. Naomi did her part. Jade is good at the impressive power spots. There really isn't much more to it at this point. As far as anything else in her game, it's a lot of the same stuff that we've been seeing out of her now for the past year. You know, Naomi was there. Like I said, she was fine in this match. I thought they might give the win to Naomi because Naomi is the one who turned heel recently. This was her first big match since turning heel. So I wouldn't have beaten her in her first match as a heel. I thought they would give her the win. She would cheat. You know, something would happen. They didn't do that. But I fully expect Naomi is going to play a part in the women's title match tomorrow night. Whether she just comes out and provides distraction or she attacks Bianca, I don't know what she'll do, but I have every expectation that we are going to see her get involved. I don't know about Jade, but I do think we're going to see Naomi tomorrow night. I would have liked to have seen her get the win here. I know why they did it. If it is a one and done, then Jade had to win. Yeah, because Jade is the one who was almost murdered. So this had to be her revenge if we're not going to see this again. If we are going to see it again, then I think Naomi should have won. But the match itself was solid. We had LA Knight one-on-one with Jacob Fatu. This was for the United States Championship. Solo Sikoa walked out on stage with Fatu, who was wearing this pretty badass-looking wolf mask when he walked out, that they absolutely need to start selling on WWE Shop, if they're not already. He removed the mask and he handed it to Solo, who went to the back, and we did not see him again. He did not come down to the ring with Jacob. He did not come back out later in the match like I thought he would. We didn't see him again. So as far as Knight's entrance, he exited out of a white Maserati. They had a ramp on the side of the stage. And he drove the Maserati. Well, he didn't drive it, but he had a driver. But they drove the Maserati onto the stage. So then it was bell time. Knight had the edge early on until Fatu hit a pop-up Samoan drop. Knight tried mounting a comeback. Fatu, though, caught him coming off the top into a belly-to-belly suplex for a two count. So then Jacob tried another Samoan drop. Knight countered into what was supposed to be a crucifix bomb. Fatu set up for a moonsault, but Knight ran up the ropes and he hit an avalanche release German suplex. And I wasn't sure if Fatu was ready yet because like he ran the ropes and didn't give him any time to adjust or anything. He just flung him. And, you know, Fatu is no small man, but he went flying through the air. He did a flip and he landed, you know, he did like a belly flop. So landed it perfectly. And Fatu came back, though, with a super kick, three running hip attacks and a senton bomb. We got dueling chants from this crowd for both men. So as much as they like Jacob, you know, they were cheering for LA Knight. We went back and forth with it. They did a really cool spot where Fatu went for a moonsault. But as he came down, Knight caught him with a BFT. It was, you know what it basically was? It was very similar to the Randy Orton, Evan Bourne RKO. Some people think that's the greatest RKO of all time. I say it's WrestleMania 31, Orton and Rollins, but everybody always talks about the Orton and Evan Bourne one from Raw. That's basically what this was. You know, the guy coming off the ropes is doing all the work. All you got to do is just be in the right position and just come down with a cutter. That's basically it. But it was cool, though. It was a cool spot. So Knight thought he had the match won. He covered him, but he was too close to the ropes. And so right before the three count, Fatu reached up and he grabbed the rope for the break. After that, Fatu hit a senton with Knight. So LA Knight, I got to picture this now. LA Knight is laying across the top rope in the corner on his stomach. Fatu is up there with him and he just falls backwards and does a senton on top of him on the top rope. So he hits that senton and then he follows that up back to back mighty moonsaults because one's not good enough. You got to make sure. So you hit two of them. And after the second one, he covered him and he got the pin clean in the middle of the ring. And just like that, we have a brand new United States champion. And he got a huge babyface reaction because that's the case in most cities where Jacob Fatu goes. They're chanting his name. They're cheering for him. They like the guy. They think he's cool. They think he's a badass. He is. He's got his music. Honestly, I've talked about the music situation in WWE. There's a lot of bad music. Okay, I've talked about Def Rebel and everything. His song is one of the better ones. So I think his music actually fits him very well. He's got a cool entrance. Even the mask that he came out with tonight. He has that cool factor about him. There's a certain charisma that he has that draws people to him. That's why one day he's going to make for a tremendous babyface, even though he's still technically a heel. But they cheered for him when he won the championship. This was the best thing on the show up to this point by far. I was very surprised that we did not see Solo Sikoa come back out. When I saw him walk out with Fatu on stage at the beginning, I said, okay, right? No Tama Tonga. They took him out with an injury angle on Friday. But there's Solo. Something's going to happen. Solo's going to try to help him. It's going to blow up in their face. Knight's going to win. Then we get the match between Solo and Jacob, which we are going to get. I think we all know we're headed in that direction. I just didn't think they were going to put the title on Fatu. But it was a pleasant surprise. It was very cool to see him win that championship. I'm very happy for him. I know this is something that he's wanted for a very long time. And as I said before, it's the first of many championships that this man is going to win in this company, without a shadow of a doubt. But that's three title matches up to this point and three title changes so far. We still had one to go. Hit the deck, everybody. Holy shit. Holy shit. It is a Cody bomb. We got hit with
the best moveset.
Yes, we got hit with a Cody bomb by our friend ABK, who dropped a $300 bomb. Holy shit. I wasn't sure what happened to ABK. I thought he went on a long vacation. He says, I'm back. The night one of WrestleMania 41. I feel so bored, but the main event is perfect. Also, I felt the Seth Rollins needed to turn heel because his character felt boring, but all of the laughing and Pat McAfee suck. I hope I read that right. ABK, how the hell are you? We haven't heard from him in a while. That's awesome. See, that's what I love to see here. I love that kind of energy here for the WrestleMania review. And it's only night one. It's only night one. But ABK has just bombed the hell out of all of us here. Thank you, brother. Let's keep it going here, shall we? Because it was supposed to be Rey Mysterio. Now we got some sad news. So it was supposed to be Rey Mysterio taking on El Grande Americano here on this show. Rey Mysterio got hurt last night on SmackDown. Okay, I talked about this in the review. It was very obvious. They had a six-man tag. It was Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, and Rey Fénix against Chad Gable and the Creed brothers. And very early in the match, Rey is chasing Gable around on the outside. He slides into the ring, and Julius Creed reaches in, and he drags Rey out to the floor, and Rey takes a bump onto the floor. You know, it was a rough bump, but it didn't look like anything out of the ordinary. But you could tell where he was grabbing his leg. We didn't see Rey again for the rest of the match. So I don't know if it was an ankle. I don't know if it was a knee. They haven't announced exactly what the injury is, but it was very clear that he was hurt. And then there was fan video from the building of him literally being picked up and carried to the back after the match was over. So earlier today on the kickoff show, they made the announcement. Actually, Rey was there. He made the announcement himself that he was not medically cleared. And so he was off the WrestleMania card, but replacing him, making his WrestleMania debut, Rey Fénix. They traded one Rey for another. They swapped one out, and they replaced him with another one. I thought it was going to be, I figured it would be him or Dragon Lee. And the reason I was kind of leaning towards Dragon Lee is because I figured that El Grande Americano was winning this match. Felt that he's going to win this match. And so Dragon Lee, you know what? You can have him beat Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee has not been pushed recently in a way where it's like, oh, why would you beat Dragon Lee? It would kind of be expected. He's part of the LWO. And that way, you know, when Rey is ready to come back, you know, he can get revenge for Dragon Lee. Instead, they went with Rey Fénix. And I said, well, that either means that Rey Fénix is losing. here at WrestleMania. He's only been here for 2 weeks. Or he's going to beat El Grande Americano. And you really can't beat that guy at this point. Just the story they're doing, it doesn't make sense for him to lose already. So I kind of feel like they were in a no-win situation here. But when I saw that Phoenix was getting the nod here, I was like, oh, you know what? That's really cool for him. Imagine if you're Ray Phoenix. A couple months ago, you were under lock and key. You thought you were going to be benched and sitting on your ass for the rest of the year. He had no idea that he was going to get the early release that he wanted from Tony Khan, but he got it. Of course, he ended up immediately in WWE. And here he is now. Not 24 hours ago, this fucking guy had no idea he was wrestling at WrestleMania. Now he's having a singles match on this show. So for him, that's pretty cool. And I thought the match had the potential to be, you know, pretty great. So they had a mariachi band dressed in El Grande Americano masks, playing him out to the ring. He made his entrance. He was announced from the Gulf of America, which they quickly on commentary said that Alicia Taylor didn't get the memo because he's from the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know if they did that on purpose or because they have changed it back to the Gulf of Mexico, which is what it is. And so I don't know if she really didn't get the memo and they were doing some damage control or if they did that on purpose. But anyway, so he makes his way out to the ring and then they show sitting in the front row, El Hijo del Vikingo. Now, if you haven't been paying attention to what's been going on today, or if you just woke up from a coma, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, Vikingo went to WWE? When did this happen?
Wake up! The Joneses are redoing their garden! Love that porcelain paving and all that fencing. I knew it! They've been with their landscaper to Juicen. A mini digger! No wonder she was so smug at Zumba. Right, I want a sunken seating area. She won't have that.
For materials, tool hire, timber and paving. Don't waste time. Juicen's got the lot.
Like Tiralis porcelain paving from only £22 per square metre. Love it!
All trade prices exclude VAT at 20%. So now you can keep up with the Joneses.
And the Evanses.
And the Patels.
He was in the front row because earlier today he was part of the big announcement. And I'll get into this more on the podcast tomorrow. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But the big news, the big bombshell news this afternoon is that WWE and TKO, I mean, they're basically one and the same. They have acquired AAA. They have bought AAA. They now own AAA. We don't know anything else as far as how that's going to work, how they're going to run the company, what they paid for the company. We know nothing at this point. The only thing we know is that WWE now owns AAA. Vikingo is one of their key stars, one of the major players in AAA. So he was there for the announcement. That's why he was in the front row here. And we also know that they've announced a Worlds Collide event for June 7th at the Kia Forum in Los Angeles. And it's going to have AAA talent, WWE talent. Well, I assume it'll be NXT, but they'll have some main roster talent on there as well. So that was the major announcement earlier. So there's Vikingo, and he's in the front row. And Americano, he goes over there. And by the way, in the graphic, they just listed him as Vikingo. So they didn't say El Hijo del Vikingo, it was just Vikingo in the graphic. El Grande Americano, he goes over to him and he gives him a shove. And Vikingo responds with a kick to the head. Americano stumbles into the ring. Referee checks on him, calls for the bell. Phoenix instantly hits a Hurricane Rana for a quick near fall. They're having a good match. And the crowd's, you know, a little quiet, but they're kind of popping off a little bit for some of Phoenix's offense. And then came the biggest surprise of all here in this match. El Grande Americano. He goes up to the top rope. Now, I'm just going to say, Chad Gable, of all fucking people, he pulls off a 540 backflip off the top rope onto Ray Phoenix. The fact that we had Chad Gable doing a 540 backflip is just insanity to me. And you could see like the looks on people's faces and you could hear the gasps as he landed on this man because it looked like he either killed himself and or Ray Phoenix. So as incredible as it was to see him of all people pull off a move like that, I don't ever want to see him do that again. I think for his well-being and the well-being of whoever he's in the ring with, once is enough. That moment will live on now. I really don't want to ever see him do that move again. That was scary, but that was like, holy shit. Like, Phoenix, I would have expected something like that, but not from Gable. So that was incredible. So Phoenix tried running the ropes for his goodbye amigo kick, but Gable tripped him up and crotched him. And then with the referee distracted, Gable loaded up the mask with the metal plate. We've seen this the last few weeks. He has that little metal plate, and he stuffs it under his mask, and the referee doesn't see it. So he stuffs it in there again. Phoenix tries again for the goodbye amigo kick, where he runs the top rope, and he kicks the guy in the face, and he hits it. But when he comes down, he starts selling his foot, like he broke his foot. He's pointing to the foot. He's in just agony. Referee has no idea what's going on because of the metal plate. So Americano, he catches Phoenix's injured foot in an ankle lock. Phoenix reversed into a cradle for two. Phoenix then came off the top. Gable, though, headbutted him out of midair with the metal plate that the referee could not see. And then Phoenix is laying there like he's dead. He's motionless on the mat. He's knocked out. Americano climbs to the top rope, hits the diving headbutt. And he pins Rey Fénix. He hands Rey Fénix his first loss 2 weeks into his run here in WWE. This was a good match. It was shorter than I would have liked for it to be. And honestly, that was an issue. I don't want to say an issue because some of these matches don't need to be that long. Outside of the opener, though, up to this point, every other match had been 10 minutes or less. This was a match that I think could have benefited from a few extra minutes. So if this match went, I don't know, 8 minutes, let's say 8 or 9 minutes. I would have liked to have seen them get another, 4 or 5 minutes. I think that would have been even better. I hate that Phoenix had to lose, but I'm not going to get angry about it. It doesn't upset me to the point where I'm, angry about it because look at the circumstances. This match was not supposed to happen. They had a pivot. They had less than 24 hours. I don't know when they finally figured out, okay, look, you're not getting cleared. They probably tried to clear Ray, the other one, and they said, okay, we can't clear you. We have to come up with a plan B. So they didn't even have 24 hours to come up with a replacement, and this is what they came up with. It was the easiest thing in the world. You either put Ray Phoenix in there, or you put Dragon Lee in there. It wasn't like a major shift, but this was not the originally scheduled match. But that's the whole point. Like, Rey Fénix just got to wrestle his first match at WrestleMania. He wasn't even supposed to be on the card. His brother is tomorrow night. Rey Fénix, all of a sudden, imagine, I mean, I'm sure he feels bad for Rey, the other one. But, he's got to be, like, doing fucking cartwheels in his head when he gets the news. Like, hey, guess what? You're up. You're going out there tonight. Fucking 60,000 people at WrestleMania. You're gonna have a match. I'm glad he got that opportunity. I can't be mad that he lost, because he wasn't even supposed to be in this position in the first place. But it was more important for Americano to win. He had to win this match. He should not lose until he loses his mask. And we are eventually going to get that mask versus mask match. I assume it'll be Rey Mysterio, but I don't know how serious his injury is. We don't know anything about his injury. If it's serious enough that he ends up needing surgery or something, then he'll be gone for a while. If it's something where he'll be cleared in a week, then we're good to go. You could do the match of Backlash, or you can hold off if you want to for, Saturday night's main event or some other show. I think you can keep this gimmick going for a little while longer. Eventually, it'll wear itself out. But to, beat him on this show or have him unmasked on this show, why? Like, it's still so early in the angle. I mean, I'm amused by it. Like, I don't mind it. It's fine. You want to drag it out for another month or so? I see no issue with that. It was more important for him to win this match than it was for Rey Fénix. Rey Fénix did not lose anything by losing this match. He looked fine. The people are not going to like him any less because this guy headbutted him in the fucking head with a metal plate. So please, I don't want to see any of the comments about, oh, he already lost. The luster is gone. He's buried. People love throwing that word around. Please. After the match was over, Vikingo got into the ring. He checked on Phoenix. He helped him to his feet. So what I wonder is if they're setting, because it felt this way here, that they may be setting up for a match at Worlds Collide on June 7th with Vikingo and El Grande Americano. That's what it felt like to me when this was over. We could be headed for that match. But how about that? Even though it took, like, Chad Gable does not have a singles match at WrestleMania to his name, but El Grande Americano does. And so that's all it took. For him to actually win a match, all he had to do was change his name and put a mask on. And look at this. He finally got a win at WrestleMania. You do whatever you need to do. You do whatever it takes. Let me take a quick break here to let you guys know that today's episode is sponsored by Factor. If you want to eat healthier and eat good, I don't just mean eat clean, but really enjoy your food, you can make this your best season yet with nutritious two-minute meals from Factor, the meal delivery service that you have been waiting for. Eating well has never been this easy. Just heat up and enjoy, giving you more time to do what you want. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, making them perfect for any active lifestyle. So with the spring weather, and summer will be here soon enough, get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. With 45 weekly menu options, you can choose gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, and premium dinners, not to mention guilt-free snacks and desserts, which is my favorite. I mean, who doesn't love dessert? It's easy to savor more this spring. Factor meals pack in the flavor without all the fuss. I got my new box earlier in the week. I like the Ropa Vieja chicken thigh bowl. If it has chicken, chances are I'm going to like it. But this was really good. There was a spicy sweet potatoes and peanut sauce meal with coconut rice and roasted green beans. That was also very good. But my favorite, this was my dinner on Thursday, was the sesame teriyaki filet mignon. Oh my, friggin' amazing. And again, they only take minutes to make. It's not going to take you an hour before you even sit down to take your first bite. And that's good for me because I'm streaming on most nights. As you know, there's wrestling damn near every night of the week at this point. So I don't want to spend forever eating dinner before I have to work. This takes care of that for me. And it can take care of it for you too. With an exclusive offer for Sound Off listeners. Get started at factormeals.com/solomonster50off. And use the code SOLOMONSTER50OFF to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code SOLOMONSTER50OFF at factormeals.com/SOLOMONSTER50OFF for 50% off plus free shipping. Then we had Shawn Michaels, who they said they couldn't understand why he or how he was even able to stand up straight, because it was a late Hall of Fame last night. And then this afternoon, they had NXT to get ready for. And that show went live at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So there he was again, Shawn Michaels, past his bedtime. But he walked out onto the stage and he had a card in his hand that he was going to read from. And the camera was able to show what was written on the card. And they had the attendance. He was coming out to announce the attendance for the show. And it was written down on the card in like black marker in like the biggest letters possible, to make it as easy as possible for him to just glance down in case he forgot what the number was and just read the attendance. But he came out and announced that they had 61,467 people in Allegiant Stadium, and they claimed that it was a sellout, which I don't believe it really was. I think it was close. Whatever they were set up for, they were close. Was it a legitimate sellout? I don't know about that. WWE Women's Championship, Tiffany Stratton defending against Charlotte Flair. The champion entered first. That's a no-no. I don't like that. I don't like that. As a general rule, it shouldn't be that way. And by the way, I should point out that every other champion on the show, they came out last. Tiffany was the only champion who came out first. And she had a Barbie-inspired entrance. She entered out of a custom giant life-size Barbie doll box on stage that they said was made by Mattel, because she's a life-size Barbie doll, you see. Charlotte got driven out onto the stage in a Rolls Royce, and she was heavily booed. I should point out they were both wearing similar colored gear, to the point where they look like tag team partners, not opponents. They look like they should be going after the women's tag team titles. I have to mention this, though. Before I get into the match itself, I do want to mention something, because I feel like it may have been lost in all of the noise and all the media that has been going on this week. Charlotte gave an interview to the New York Post, And she talked about a lot of different things in this interview and some personal stuff and fertility stuff. I'm not going to get into that. But I actually felt sorry for her because she was talking in the interview about what a shitty year she had. She had the knee injury and it was, you know, she didn't know if she'd be able to come back. And her marriage was falling apart with Andrade. And all of this was happening at the same time. And she said in the article that her father didn't know because she didn't tell him that her marriage was falling apart. And the reason that she didn't tell him about that and what she was going through is because she goes, I love my dad, but I don't trust him. He will go out and he will share things publicly that I don't want him to share, which he has done before. And it's very clear that he would just kind of shoot, because he'll do interviews and shoot his mouth off about stuff that makes you go, wait a minute, I don't know that Charlotte would want him saying that. That might get her some heat in the company. And she's admitting that here and saying, I couldn't even tell my dad because I don't trust that he's going to go out and put my shit out there when I don't want him to. And then she said that my father was getting a divorce. And so I couldn't say anything about this because my dad's getting a divorce. Now, if I come out and say that I'm getting a divorce, I become the laughingstock of the wrestling world. And I'm like, that's pretty shitty, you know, that she doesn't even trust her dad enough to keep his mouth shut about something personal like that. And she felt like she had to keep it a secret from him. And I was just very struck by that. But I guess when you have Ric Flair as your father, that's just the kind of shit you got to deal with. So anyway, I was very curious to see what kind of a match that these two would have. We don't need to relitigate all of the segments up until this point. Most of them were no good. There was a lot of awkwardness, a lot of tension that was probably very real, and that's great. Real tension can make for great television. We didn't get a whole lot of great television from these two. So what I was hoping for is that they would just go out there and have a great match. What kind of in-ring chemistry would these two have? This is a very important match for Tiffany Stratton, not for Charlotte. Charlotte's been here a million times. Charlotte's a made woman. She's gone out there. She's won championships. She's had tons of WrestleMania matches. For Tiffany, this was the biggest match of her career. And if Charlotte wanted to, she could help make or break this girl. So what kind of match would they have here? Charlotte did Stephanie Vicaire's Devil's Kiss move, where she gets her opponent in the head scissors and then smashes their face repeatedly into the mat. Whether Charlotte did the move first or not isn't even relevant. It's Stephanie's move now. She's the one that everybody associates with it. She does it a lot better. It's her move. So whenever Charlotte does it, she immediately gets instant heat, which is probably why she does it. Instant heat. So Stratton came back with a spine buster, hit a rolling senton, and a basement drop kick, but then Charlotte cut her off with a big boot. Charlotte called her a bitch. Stratton responded with some very aggressive strikes. Charlotte, though, booted her again. Stratton avoided natural selection. Charlotte, though, hit a sit-out powerbomb for a two count. Charlotte set up for a moonsault out to the floor, but Stratton shoved her off the top rope. Charlotte sold it like she hurt her knee. Her surgically repaired knee, which has a big brace on it now. So she's selling the knee, and Stratton attacked the leg. Charlotte managed to boot her again anyway with the other foot, and then Charlotte began attacking Stratton's knee before applying a figure four. Stratton got out of it by punching Charlotte's injured knee, and then she chop-blocked Charlotte. Went for the prettiest moonsault ever, but Charlotte got her knees up on the way down, cradled her for an earfall. Charlotte drops Stratton off the top rope, right, because they're both up top, and she drops her from the top rope, but she stays up there, and she follows with what was supposed to be a natural selection off the top. Tiffany went down for it. She sold it. She didn't get all of it. As the announcers say, she didn't get all of it. She was this close. What ended up happening, honestly, was she kind of grabbed Tiffany's hair more than anything else on the way down and kind of dragged her down to the mat. But this did not look good. Charlotte did some shit talking. Stratton smacked her. Charlotte went for a figure four again. Stratton got out of it and then hit a sloppy-looking Alabama slam into the turnbuckles. And then she followed with her prettiest moonsault ever, and she pinned her She pinned Charlotte Flair to retain her women's championship. This went 20 minutes. I don't know about you, but it felt like it. I felt every minute of this. I'm kind of torn. I didn't like this match. I was bored. I just couldn't get into it. This was by no means a WrestleMania classic, or we've seen Charlotte have great matches on this show before with Rhea Ripley and with Asuka and different people. And that's not what this was. So I didn't think much of the match, honestly, but at the same time, I could recognize that for Tiffany, that win was huge for her. Like, she really needed this win a lot more than Charlotte did. I just thought Charlotte was going to win. That's why I predicted a Charlotte Flair win. I was shocked, pleasantly surprised when she didn't walk away with the title in this match. But the good thing, even though I didn't really care for the match, Tiffany winning was the right call. When this match was over, she looked like hell. She had this huge bruise on her forehead. It looked like she had some broken teeth. I think her lip was bloody and all busted up. Like, this woman looked like she was in a fucking fight when this match was over. And I don't think it was a case where, you know, they were taking liberties with each other. I don't think they were shooting on each other. I just think they were working a very snug match. You know, and Tiffany, like I said, she looked like she took some punishment in this match. It was gritty. Gritty's a good word for it. Even though I hate that mascot, but it was a gritty match, which is not the sort of match we're used to seeing Tiffany in on TV. I just don't think it was all that great. I'm sorry. This was one of my least favorite matches on the entire show. But the end result is what matters, and the end result was a clean win in the middle of the ring for Tiffany Stratton. That will give her credibility that she didn't have before. Because whether you like Charlotte, you don't like Charlotte, you're sick of Charlotte, you love Charlotte, all hail the queen, wherever you fall on the Charlotte Flair question, she is still one of the biggest stars in the entire company. That is how she is portrayed. That is how she is booked. She's got this incredible resume. When you go in there on a stage like WrestleMania and you beat her, it means something. So for Tiffany Stratton now, that's the biggest win of her career outside of her winning the championship, but it was a Money in the Bank cash-in. This was the biggest win of her career. What we saw tonight was the biggest win of her career. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if they're going to, I have to assume they're going to extend this, but we'll find out on Friday. I would be kind of surprised, honestly, if it was one and done, unless there really are issues between the two and they just want to kind of keep them separate. I would imagine that this is the first of what will be more matches between them. But I was pleasantly surprised that Charlotte did not go over here. It was the right call to make. Now, after this, they introduced... people talking about Gritty. I don't know. Gritty freaks me out. There's something about him that's very unnerving. I don't trust that guy. Something about him I don't trust. So after this...
It's the amazing Gunther.
After this, we got Gunther.
Jerry Lawler loves Gunther the Magnificent. All hail Gunther.
Fire Panda, thank you very much. Coming in with a $50 Gunther bun. Yeah, Charlotte's going to get 15. Please. It will not be that much longer. Charlotte Flair will be a 15-time champion. They got to pad it. They got to pad the resume. It's going to happen at some point. I just thought they wouldn't be able to resist, and they would have her win it here and then have Tiffany chase her and maybe win it back, even if they do that Evolution PLE, which is rumored for July 5th, have her win it back there, you know, or at SummerSlam, make her struggle to get the belt back. But like I said, I was pleasantly surprised that she went over here. So then they introduced the members of the Hall of Fame class of 2025. Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin were standing next to each other on stage. Austin flipped the bird, and it was hilarious because the camera very quickly panned down just enough to keep his finger out of the camera shot. Michelle McCool was there. They had Typhoon and the family of Earthquake John Tenta. And then Triple H came out, and he spat his water. And it got all over the camera lens, which I'm sure thrilled the camera guy. Might have been Stu. No Lex Luger. I'm sitting here going, man, is that it? Did he already booted? Is he already booted out of the Hall of Fame? That didn't take very long. Is that stage not wheelchair accessible? They had a fucking ramp with a Maserati driving. A Maserati and a Rolls Royce driving up and down a ramp to get onto the stage. You couldn't get a ramp for Lex Luger? Lex Luger is in the Hall of Fame. I did see the Hall of Fame the other night. I hope they never do that again. I don't know why they insisted on doing the Hall of Fame after SmackDown. I don't understand why they don't just do it on Thursday. I know it's a day early, but it's not like they're not going to sell tickets. I don't know why they insist on doing this. Lex's speech was very nice, though. It was nice to see him standing up there at the podium and soaking it all in and giving a speech. So that was very nice. But then we had the main event. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk in a triple threat match. And at this point in the show, I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, there have been some matches on this show that are solid, a couple of good ones, but this is WrestleMania. All of the pomp and circumstance and the pageantry and the promotion for this show and the giant stage and everything that goes into it, and you would expect this show to be the best of the best. You know, there's a reason why when it comes to the Tokyo Dome shows, for all those years, those big Tokyo Dome shows, Wrestle Kingdom, even if I wasn't following like every single little thing they were doing, I would watch those shows. And there would be some incredible, and they had great entrances too, very kind of theatrical entrances sometimes, but yeah, you know, the matches would just blow you away. And so the year just started, it's early January, and you would always come away from that show with at least a couple of match of the year candidates, right? This is WrestleMania. There are certain expectations that come with this show. Now it's two nights, right? Night two may end up being, I certainly hope night two would end up being better than night one. But up to this point, I'm like, you know what? It's very mid. Mid-mania. Running wild. We need this match to really just hit a home run. Thankfully, that's what they did. But that's how I was feeling coming into it. So Rollins was out first, and he had a flamethrower. He was copying The Rock from WrestleMania 30. Oh, hey, maybe that's a sign. Maybe that's a sign of something. But yeah, he was copying The Rock. Remember The Rock came out with a flamethrower in Dallas? WrestleMania 32. So he did the same thing here. And then they cut the lights. I thought they were going to change his music or something when the lights came back on. The music was the same, but he had changed out of whatever he was wearing, and he was wearing a white outfit. So then Roman was out second. He was actually wearing white kicks as he came to the ring. And then they gave CM Punk the last entrance, and they set it up with a great video package for Punk, showing clips from the very first promo that he ever did in ECW when he introduced himself to the world and he said that he's straight edge. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. They spliced in current day footage of him recreating that promo. So they had younger Punk and older Punk, grizzled Punk, the Punk who, you know, at this point in his life had already beaten up some of his colleagues behind the scenes. So they spliced in the different Punks here. And then they had old, you know, footage of him throughout his career and his run as champion for 434 days, and then some current clips of him. And they set it to his old This Fire Burns theme by Killswitch Engage, which I have to say, Cult of Personality, great song. This Fire Burns, also a fucking great song. It was good to hear that music again.
Wake up! The Joneses are redoing their garden. Love that porcelain paving and all that fencing. I knew it. They've been with their landscaper deducing. A mini digger. No wonder she was so smug at Zumba. Right, I want a sunken seating area. She won't have that.
For materials, tool hire, timber and paving. Don't waste time. Ducen's got the lot.
Like Tiralis porcelain paving from only £22 per square metre. Love it.
All trade prices exclude VAT at 20%. So now you can keep up with the Joneses.
And the Evanses.
And the Patels.
So then Punk entered to a live performance of Cult of Personality by Living Color. He was let out by Paul Heyman for the first time since 2013. It's been a long time since we've seen this. And honestly, it felt like 2013 all over again. Because not only is he walking out here with Paul Heyman, you know, leading the way, he's got the gray hoodie. He was wearing his yellow gear. Didn't he wear that yellow gear to one of the WrestleManias? I think he might have worn that same gear for the one match he had with Triple H at Night of Champions. But this whole thing just felt like a giant throwback. And it was also Punk's first WrestleMania match in 12 years. So Punk comes down last. He's over huge with the crowd. Reigns got taken out right from the start. Punk brawled into the crowd early with Rollins. Punk used a chair across his back. Rollins hit him in the head with a garbage can. Punk suplexed him onto the garbage can. And as they fought back towards the ring, Roman flew over the barricade. He cleared the barricade. He did his best Okada dive here, and he wiped out Punk and Rollins in the crowd. Reigns then went over to the announce desk. Once they made their way back to ringside, he cleared off the Spanish announce table, and they cut to Heyman, and Heyman's got this real sour look on his face. But Roman ended up in the ring with Punk. Punk mocked his ooh-ah. You know what Roman does in the corner every time he goes to do the spear? He goes, ooh-ah, like he's fucking Al Pacino. So Punk is mocking him, doing his best impression in the corner. But as he came in, Reigns scooped him up for a Samoan drop. He went for a Superman punch. Punk turned it into a swinging neck breaker. So now Rollins is back, and Punk wipes him out. Step-up knee to Rollins in one corner. Step-up knee to Roman in the other corner. So let's do it again. Step up knee to Rollins in the corner. Step up knee to Roman Reigns. This is all Punk right now. Punk grabs Roman for a neck breaker, and he grabs Rollins at the same time for a DDT, and he delivers both moves simultaneously. So then Punk flies off the top, hits Rollins with the Randy Savage elbow off the top rope. Not quite as good as the Kairi Sane elbow. See, if you're going to rank them, it's Savage, it's Kairi, and I guess, I'd go Shawn Michaels, and then maybe Punk. I think that order makes sense to me. So anyway, he went for the same diving elbow to Roman. Rollins ran up the ropes, though, and set up for a superplex, but now Roman gets back up. And he walks over to them. He gets Rollins on his shoulders. He's got him in an electric chair position. And Punk comes off with a doomsday device. And then Superman punch connects to CM Punk. He kicks out at two. The one thing about this match, and you will notice it here as I go along, is that there were a lot of near falls. And it suffers from the same thing that I just talked about this recently with the Will Ospreay match with Konosuke Takeshita. Because Dynamite was great this week, and they had that great match on Wednesday. And I said, this match is fucking awesome. But if there's one thing, they went a little overboard with all the kickouts for all the big moves. I could say the same thing about this match. And they needed a certain number of them, but did they go overboard with it? Yeah, they went overboard with it. It worked, just like it worked on Wednesday. The crowd responded to it. But you do get to a point in these matches where it's like, that was probably one too many. They did have a lot of those here in this match. Reigns went to the corner. He set up for the spear, but he ran into a kick instead by Punk. He set up for the GTS. Reigns, though, elbowed his way out of it. Punk took him down for a near fall with a Uranagi, and then he got the Anaconda Vice locked on. But here comes Seth Rollins. He breaks it up with a frog splash to both men, hooks the leg on Roman. Roman kicks out. Rollins gave Punk a buckle bomb, and I was like, fuck, that fucking move. If I never see another buckle bomb in my life, it won't be a day too soon. So a buckle bomb to him. Then he gave Roman a buckle bomb. Rollins went for a pedigree to Punk, who hoisted him up, but Roman came in with a spear. And then he tried for one to Rollins. And this was actually one of the greatest spots of the entire match. So Roman is coming off the ropes, and he goes and he kind of dives for a spear, right? And as he's going for the spear, Seth Rollins catches him perfectly, right out of midair with a pedigree. Now, this is not the first time they've tried this spot before. I vividly remember them doing this spot at Money in the Bank in 2016. I think that was right before Roman got suspended, actually. And so they did the spot in that match as well. The spear into the pedigree counter, it's just such a good move. But this was so much smoother. Like, this looked even better than it did back then. That spot was fucking great. So he hits the pedigree, and then he hits a stomp for good measure. And then Punk is laying there, so he kicks Punk out of the ring, and he thinks he's got Roman dead to rights, but of course, Roman kicks out. So Rollins heads up top, and he's praying. He's praying, and I'm like, okay, he's going for a Phoenix Splash. I'm sure he's going for a Phoenix Splash here. And sure enough, that's what he went for. He goes for the Phoenix Splash, but he rolls through. Punk catches him for a GTS. Rollins, though, slips out. Punk moves, and Roman Reigns spears Seth Rollins. Punk then lifts Roman for the GTS, and he connects. Need him right in the face. He covers Roman Reigns. Roman kicks out. And they cut to Paul Heyman on the outside, and he can't believe it. So Punk gives the sign for the go to sleep. He picks Roman up. In comes Rollins, though. Pedigree to CM Punk. And he covers him, and Punk kicks out. So now Rollins is looking down at Roman. And he starts talking to him. And he goes, "You don't know." Says, "That's why I'm here. You're without Heyman. You're without me. You're without Mox." Who's Mox? I only know Ambrose. Who is this Mox that he's talking about? You know, there's some WWE fans watching this, like some little kid, like, who's Mox? He goes, "You're without Mox. You're without your bloodline." He goes, "Of course you don't know. It should be you and me." And he looks over at Punk and he goes, "He's the outsider. We put him down. He's a dead man." So basically what he's trying to do here is convince Roman Reigns, for the greater good, you and I need to work together. Let's take this fucking guy out. So he goes out after Punk and he's motioning for Reigns, "Come out here. Come join me." Rollins rips the top part of the English announce desk off, and Reigns now makes his way outside, but he is completely conflicted here. He doesn't know what to do. He's got his head in his hands. He's trying to figure it out. He's all stressed out. Reigns screams, "Pick him up." And so what they're going to do is they're going to recreate the old Shield powerbomb spot. But instead, Rollins hoists up Punk for it, but instead Roman punches Seth in the face. And so he wants to do it himself. So he sets up Punk for a powerbomb, and he powerbombs CM Punk through the announce desk. And, you know, it's hard these days to break the announce desk in WWE. This one broke. And then he goes over to Rollins, and he powerbombs him on the Spanish announce desk. And that one breaks as well. And so then he rolls Rollins into the ring, and he hits a spear. He covers him, and Rollins kicks out. This is what I mean by kick-out mania here. But, yeah, the fans were into it. You know, they were buying into it. So now we end up with Roman and Punk in the ring. And Roman locks in the standing guillotine. Now, we've seen him win many matches when he was on that little reign of terror of his own. 3.5 years as the champion, especially in those early COVID days, right? That was his go-to move. And that's how he beat Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. So he locks in the guillotine, and he locks it in deeper, and he takes Punk down to the mat with it. Punk reverses out of it, though. He gets the Anaconda Vice locked back on. But now Seth is back in the ring, and he locks Punk in a sharpshooter. And he's got it sank in pretty deep, too. This is not like a Rock sharpshooter, which is the worst sharpshooter in the world, where Rock looked like he was in more pain than his opponent. He had this lean back in pretty good. But now Roman's back up, and he grabs Rollins and puts him in the guillotine. Punk, though, stomps Roman, and he hits the go-to-sleep to Seth Rollins. And he covers Seth, and Seth kicks out. So at this point, these three are rocking, and they have the crowd. They know they have the crowd, and you know it's building to some kind of dramatic spot involving Paul Heyman. You're just waiting for it. You're just wondering, how is it going to happen? When is it going to come? So Punk gets Rollins back on his shoulders, hits the GTS. But then Roman Reigns explodes with a spear, or he's setting up for GTS, but then Roman explodes with a spear to CM Punk. And Rollins falls backwards against the ropes. When I say backwards, like he's standing up. Actually, he did hit the GTS. What am I saying? He connected with the knee to the face. Right. And what happened is Rollins, he sort of stumbled backwards. And he came off the ropes and then he delivered a stomp. So he kind of no-sold the GTS in a way, even though then he collapsed. And now all three men are down. But we did get a little no-sell there on the GTS. But now we have a triple down. And at this point in the match, with all three men down, all the attention turns to the wise man. Paul Heyman goes over and he grabs a steel chair. And he's muttering to himself and he's kind of just talking. And CM Punk is looking at him and Roman Reigns is looking at him. And they both see that Heyman has a chair in his hand. They're looking at each other. What's going to happen, right? This is setting up exactly the way that I was talking about when we were going over the predictions last weekend. Because again, this man has been pulled in two separate directions by these men. Roman Reigns has been manipulating Paul Heyman for years to do whatever he wants him to do. He's like his, he torments this guy. And CM Punk, he cashed in his favor because he wanted Heyman to be with him. And Heyman, of course, if he had any hair left on his head, it would be falling out because he's been completely stressed out. So what is he going to do? He's got the chair. And he slides the chair into the ring to CM Punk. And on commentary, they're talking about, oh, he's made his choice. You know, he's made his choice. Roman can't believe it. And Punk picks up the chair. Heyman gets into the ring. And as soon as Heyman climbed into the ring, that's when you knew shit was about to go down. Right? Because why is he getting into the ring? It's in the ring. And Punk begins to limp towards Roman. He's got the chair. When all of a sudden, Paul Heyman, he drops to his knees. And he delivers a low blow. He delivers a low blow to CM Punk. And Punk collapses in a heap. He's now yelling down at Punk, you made me choose, you made me choose. So now he's got the chair, and he hand delivers the chair to Roman Reigns. And they want you to think that, okay, he's back with his tribal chief now. I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. And he hands him the steel chair. So Roman now is setting up to use the chair on CM Punk. And he whoops him with it a few times. He's bashing him with it, you know, across the back. And Heyman points out to Roman, goes over there. He's pointing at Seth Rollins, who's got his back turned, but he's kind of up, you know, by the ropes. And he's standing there and he's got his back turned to Roman. And Roman now is all set up to deliver a chair shot to Rollins, very similar. They're like almost in the same position as the chair shot that Seth Rollins gave to him years ago when he shattered the Shield. Roman is about to give it right back to this guy. And he's setting up for it. And Roman kind of goes like this, like he brushes Heyman back. Now Heyman is behind him. And you could hear the crowd, like they knew what was coming. Like at this point, they knew what was about to happen. And before Roman has the chance to hit Rollins in the back with a chair, he drops to a knee. And he delivers the mother of all low blows. Like Nutcracker Nakamura would be so proud of this as he is sitting back and catering, watching this unfold. Heyman, it's not even enough for me to say that he delivered a low blow. He gives this man a low blow and like he's like jamming his arm up into his jewels as much, like as hard as he possibly can. It's like he's digging for gold. And he gave it to him pretty good here. And so Roman Reigns collapsed. I mean, he's all up in there with this fucking low blow. He was enjoying himself. And this time he doesn't look broken up. He looked broken up before when he did what he did to Punk. He didn't look broken up about this. In fact, he had a smile on his face. And then he hands the chair very cavalierly, goes over and hands the chair to Seth Rollins. Heyman goes and takes a seat in the corner. And he's got this grin on his face. And Rollins hits Roman in the back with the chair. And then he delivers one final curb stomp before covering Roman Reigns, which was the other surprise to me in this match, because I thought it would be Punk. I had Rollins winning, but I figured he was pinning Punk, and he pinned Roman instead. He pins Roman Reigns to win the triple threat. Yes, it was a full cavity search. That's exactly what it was. The only thing missing were the gloves. Heyman didn't need any gloves. He went in there all just bare and raw with that hand. Full cavity search to his tribal chief. Seth Rollins wins what he would consider to be his very first WrestleMania main event. Because he's talked about this before. He doesn't really count the Money in the Bank cash in. He's always wanted to have a proper match to close the show at WrestleMania. He finally got it, and he won. He walks out a winner. When the match was over, Heyman is standing with Rollins, and Michael Cole is on commentary. He's recalling, you know, Rollins selling his soul when he was with the Shield. That's when he went to the Authority. Rollins and Heyman, they leave the ring together. Cole said, "This makes me sick." He was acting like this was the worst thing in the world. Like he had just assassinated somebody. And Pat McAfee questioned how long this had been planned for. And that's how WrestleMania Night 1 went off the air. A fantastic main event with an excellent twist at the end of the show. And even if you are somebody who's going to sit there and go, "It's predictable. I saw that coming. I figured this is how it was going to end." Maybe so, but you know what? As far as the execution, I thought it was flawless as far as how they pulled this off. Paul Heyman is always great in this role, you know, when he has to act and, you know, do what it is that he does. But I just thought the way they set it up and the way that they did the betrayal, not once, but twice, right? The triple cross. I thought that was also brilliant, the way that they did that. Was it necessary to pair Paul Heyman up with Seth Rollins? No, it wasn't. But at the same time, the more I think about it, Seth Rollins has been boring. As far as his character, he's been very stale for a while. Maybe this is the sort of thing that could help spice things up. I'm not saying he's going to change his music and he's not going to dance out to the ring in the funny outfits, but if this adds a new element to his character, and the same goes for Paul Heyman, by the way. Paul Heyman has been running around now for 5 years with Roman Reigns. The Bloodline thing jumped the shark years ago. Okay, that version of the tribal chief and everything has to evolve. If it doesn't end and you want to continue it, everything has to change and evolve and adapt. Paul Heyman has been with multiple people throughout his run in WWE. Brock Lesnar, Big Show. I think he might have been with Kurt Angle. I don't remember. CM Punk, Roman Reigns. Curtis Axel, we won't talk about that. Cesaro, we definitely won't talk about that. So now he's going to be paired up with somebody new. It's potentially a fresh coat of paint for him. It's not the worst thing in the world if it helps freshen both of them up. You know, creating this new heel pairing on Monday night. So I'm not against the idea. I just didn't think that it was something that I really needed to see. You know, putting Rollins, who's a well-established talent, with Paul Heyman, like, what does it really accomplish? But the way they pulled it off here as far as execution, I thought was great. As far as what's next, Jey Uso is the World Heavyweight Champion now. They have a babyface champion on Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins is now a heel. Right? Clearly, that's how they're going to portray him. They're going to portray him anyway as a heel going forward. And it just seems to me the obvious path here is to get to Rollins and Jey Uso. Rollins will likely end up winning the World Heavyweight Championship from Jey. It's just a matter of when they do the match. I don't think that they would necessarily run it in the next few weeks, but you got Backlash coming up in St. Louis. And remember what I said earlier, Jey Uso is not going to have a long title run. He does not need to have a long run with that title. If he lost it at Backlash, that would surprise me if they took it off him that quickly. But Rollins now is in the driver's seat. This was not a number one contenders match, but it basically was. Who else? Who's going to challenge Jey for the championship on Raw? I mean, forget having like a rematch with Gunther. I don't want Gunther losing to him again. Rollins is the one who makes sense. So now they've established a clear challenger for him whenever they want to do the match. But I'm also looking at tomorrow night. Right, forget the world title for a second. Forget Jey Uso. We have one more night left to go of WrestleMania. We have a main event tomorrow of Cody Rhodes and John Cena. And there's all this talk and all these theories are out there about, you know, is The Rock going to be there? I find it very hard to believe that The Rock wouldn't be there tomorrow. Travis Scott may be there. Everybody who we saw in Toronto may finally be back in Vegas tomorrow night. So what role might he play in the match? I'm wondering if these two don't factor into that main event tomorrow night and help cost Cody the championship, because I do believe that John Cena is winning title number 17 tomorrow night. That's just how I feel. Now, you could look at what happened tonight as, oh, the heel went over. Rollins turned heel. Tomorrow night, they'll have the babyface win. Maybe. Maybe I'm wrong and Cody's going to retain, but if John Cena is going to have, you know, an extended run as a heel and they're not just going to end it tomorrow, I would like to see him win the championship and get some matches out of it against a CM Punk and a Randy Orton. I just think that would be box office right there, and that would be fun to watch. And if you're going to have John Cena wrestle any of these people, that's going to be the de facto main event anyway. I don't know why you would want Cody to keep the title and then play second fiddle to whatever John Cena is going to be doing in the next few months. It just makes more sense for me, from my perspective, to put the belt on Cena. How do you get there? John Cena is not going to cleanly beat Cody Rhodes tomorrow night. I don't see that. So how do you work Heyman and Rollins into this? Is there going to be an expanded group involving Rock and Cena and Rollins and Heyman? Is that what we're going to look at the end of WrestleMania night two? And if so, my mind begins to wander and you start to kind of fantasy book this thing out. What would that look like if you had Rock and Cena and Rollins and Heyman collectively together? And then you had on the other side of the equation, you had Roman Reigns, who was screwed. You had CM Punk, who was screwed. And you have Cody Rhodes, who may well get screwed tomorrow night. All brought together by a common cause. Roman, Punk, and Cody on one side. Rollins, Cena, and Rock on the other. And when I say Rock, it doesn't mean that he's even going to wrestle. It's going to be a six-man tag. But I'm just talking collectively, you know, as a unit. Is that what we're looking at? Is that something that they would do? I'm very hesitant to really put a lot of stock into this just because of how disappointed I was coming out of Elimination Chamber and just how much I feel like they fucked up those first few weeks after the Cena heel turn. I don't want to give them too much credit and start fantasy booking some great idea, you know, and setting myself up for the inevitable disappointment, but it does make you wonder if one is going to have anything to do with the other. It's interesting to think about. I don't know the answer, but I'm sure you have your own ideas as well. This was one of the weakest night ones for WrestleMania that they have ever done, even with that main event. The main event definitely elevated the show, but this was still a very mid show overall. Without that main event tonight, boy, ooh. As WrestleMania goes, you take that main event out of the equation or you throw a main event out there that's, you know, just as mid as some of the other matches were, and it's the worst night one. I don't know if I can call it the worst night one, but it definitely didn't feel like a WrestleMania until we got to the main event. That much I will tell you. What did you think of WrestleMania night one? With 3,700 votes in, roughly, we are now under 50% on the thumbs up. It is 49% thumbs up, 37% thumbs in the middle, and 14% thumbs down. So when thumbs up is under the 50% mark, that's a mid show. That is a mid show. Let's find out what you guys thought of WrestleMania. I know Kevin says, no criticism, guys. Just be fans. That's what Triple H said, right? Just be fans. You're not allowed to criticize. I don't know who he's dealing with here. Oh, man. We got 4,000 people still hanging out with me here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Which is amazing. We are getting into your super chats here. And I see we are 9 out of 10 on that goal for the bonus Be the Booker. Will we get there? Find out. A slightly thick just subscribed. Only slightly. Only slightly. Thank you. Thank you for the sub. Scroll back here. I am going to read all of your messages as I always do. So if you have feedback on tonight's show, chime in. Let me know. You guys. Oh, man. I said, did I say 1 o'clock in the morning?
And the best moveset.
What did I say? Did I not say 1 o'clock in the morning? Did I say afternoon? Yeah, well, am I sleep deprived? Yes. Yes, I am. I said 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. I am a time traveler. I'm like Hogan. Oh, man. I love it. All right, let me scroll back here to the early super chats. Make sure I don't miss anybody. We still got night two. We still got night two left to go. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've never tried therapy before, it can feel like a big investment, especially with the state of things this week in the markets. All the volatility and the uncertainty out there, it's enough to cause you stress all on its own. But health is wealth. And it's important to take care of your mental health as well as your physical health. Traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session. And that can be real costly really quick. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save on average up to 50% per session. That's huge, especially when people now more than ever may be looking to save wherever they can. With BetterHelp, you pay a flat fee for weekly sessions, saving you big on cost and time. Therapy should feel accessible, not like a luxury that only VIPs can afford. With online therapy, you get quality care at a price that makes sense. Your mental health is worth it, trust me. And now it's within reach. Like I said, there's a lot going on in the world right now that may be causing you stress and giving you anxiety. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's something in your personal life. Whatever it is, therapy can help you figure out what the problem is and get to the root of it so that you can start addressing it. How to recognize it, how to cope with it, work around it, or even maybe eliminate it entirely. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it's convenient too. That's what makes it so appealing, especially if you've been on the fence about trying it. You think those 5 million people don't have busy lives like you do? They find a way to make it work, and you can too, because BetterHelp makes it easy for you with the click of a button. Plus, you can switch therapists at any time if you choose to do so. The choice is yours. Your well-being is worth it. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. The Real CS has just realized this is the third year in a row Gunther is walking into WrestleMania as a champion. It's because he's the man. What title will he walk in with next year? JDFVA, great that the War Raiders got to be on WrestleMania, but we get this instead of the TLC match. I said the same thing last night. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's very bizarre. At least have one on one night and one on the other. But if you had to choose only one, I mean, how are you going to keep the TLC match on TV and put that on the WrestleMania card? St. Clair says, I asked a while back if WWE would do a Worlds Collide show. I was not expecting it to be with AAA. I don't think a lot of people were expecting that to be the case. So you're not the only one. Let me run through. I meant to do this before. Let me do this now. Because we do have one more night of WrestleMania. Let me run through the card for tomorrow. And then I'll talk about the Bayley stuff as well. So this is WrestleMania night two. We're going to have Randy Orton on the show. He has issued an open challenge. So we do not know who Randy Orton is going to be wrestling. My prediction is that it ends up being Rusev, because I think they're saving the Aleister Black return for SmackDown next Friday, and I would not have him in there losing to Randy Orton. Rusev going in there and returning and losing to Randy Orton, that doesn't bother me as much. I just don't think it's a big deal. If he goes in there and loses and has a competitive match with Randy Orton, like, whatever. So he's my guess. I don't think it's going to be Nick Aldis. I hope it's not going to be Solo Sikoa or anybody, really anybody else I could think of right now from that SmackDown side. So that's my prediction. Rusev and then Randy Orton wins. AJ Styles against Logan Paul. I'm going with AJ Styles in this match. I would like to see AJ get not only a win at WrestleMania, but really end up with a memorable WrestleMania match that he can hang his hat on. Because I feel like he's had a number of WrestleMania matches that have been very, I don't know, I mean, just not memorable in the way that I feel like they should be. And he's had some disappointing ones as well. I'd like to see him and Logan Paul go out there. Hopefully they'll gel well together. Logan Paul is obviously a tremendous athlete. Have a great match. And let AJ go in there and get a big win. So he's my pick for that. Then we have the women's tag team titles. We have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez defending their titles. It was supposed to be against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. We sat through an entire gauntlet match last week on SmackDown. Bayley and Lyra, they started the gauntlet. They won the gauntlet. They earned the right to challenge for the titles. Now we come to find out, because they shot the angle on the pre-show today, that the plan all along was not for Bayley to be in this match. Bayley is out of the match. They shot an injury angle backstage where she was attacked by a mystery assailant. And sometimes when someone's attacked and they don't show you, it's a cover for a real injury. That's what they did with Kairi Sane. So people were like, oh, she must be hurt. She must be injured. She's not injured. Mike Johnson talked about this on PW Insider. She's not hurt. Apparently, this was the plan all along. I don't know for how many weeks, but this was not something last minute. She is out of the match. And Adam Pearce went to Lyra Valkyria and he told her, you've got 24 hours to find a replacement. That replacement, and this is not confirmed, but I'm sure that replacement is going to be Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch was at the Hall of Fame last night. There's been a lot of chatter that she is going to be coming back very soon. I have not a doubt in my mind that it's going to be Becky Lynch. And you have the tie-in there, two tie-ins, actually. Number one, she was very friendly with Lyra, right? The last time we saw them together on TV. So if Lyra needs help and she needs a partner, it would make sense that she would pick up the phone and call Becky. But also, the last time that we saw Becky, she lost to Liv Morgan in the cage match on Raw. And Liv has gloated ever since that she retired Becky Lynch. It just makes all the sense in the world that it would be her. Is it a shitty thing for them to do that to Bayley, to announce her for a WrestleMania match and then not include her on the card? Of course it is. It's a very shitty thing to do, but they have their idea. Let's see how it plays out. Let's see if Bayley, you know, factors into it in some way. Maybe she'll be there. You know, I mean, if she was taken out in an injury angle, then I don't know why she would be there. But let's see where it goes. But there's not a doubt in my mind it's going to be Becky. If it's Becky and Lyra, you know, it's hard for me to imagine they don't win. I think they win the tag team titles. Why bring back Becky just to have her lose in the first match? That doesn't really make sense. Unless Becky comes back and just turns on Lyra, but why the hell would you do that? So anyway, that's the story on that. Now, Drew McIntyre is going to go one-on-one with Damian Priest. This is going to be a Sin City street fight. I've got Drew McIntyre for the win here. That could be a sleeper match on the show tomorrow, especially with that stipulation. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of plunder and insanity. I saw Drew. I don't know if he was continuing to tweet all night long, but I saw that he did post something during Jey Uso's entrance tonight where he posted a GIF and he was mocking how long the entrance was taking. He's just so fucking good at the social media stuff. I'm going McIntyre to win. We have Bron Breakker, Penta. I wonder if Penta will get his old name back now. You know, AAA owns the Pentagon Jr. name. If he wanted to be Pentagon Jr. again and WWE was okay with it, he could be Pentagon Jr. I think Penta works fine. Penta has already been established. It's shorter. It's a lot easier to remember. It's on all of his merch. But technically, he could use the name now if he wants to. But yes, Bron Breakker, Penta, Dominic Mysterio, and Finn Balor. I've got Dominic winning the Intercontinental title here, stealing the pin from Finn Balor. That's how I see this playing out. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair for the Women's World Championship. Or the, no, it is the Women's World Championship. That's right, because tonight was the WWE Women's title. Io Sky is going to retain. And I do think we see Naomi make an appearance, if not Jade. Naomi will make an appearance during that match. I don't think Bianca's winning because I don't think Bianca's going to Monday Night Raw, which she would have to do if she wins the title. It's not going to happen. And then in the main event, Cody Rhodes defends the WWE Championship against John Cena. Cody has now laid out John Cena twice, two times in a row, with a crossroads. Between that and the fact that I think there's more fun to be had, provided he's around a little more often, there's more fun to be had with Cena having even a short run as a heel champion. I'm pulling for Cena to win. I think he does, but I have a feeling that what we saw at the end of the show tonight is going to play a role in some form or fashion in what we see at the end of the show tomorrow night. I feel like this is all connected in some way. But I think John Cena is going to make history and win number 17. So that is the WrestleMania lineup for tomorrow. I do think it's the stronger of the two lineups. And as mid as this show felt tonight outside of the main event, I'm hoping tomorrow can really pick up the slack and can end up being the better of the two nights. That's my hope. Now we can get back to this. Yeah, I knew I forgot something. I wanted to run down the card. We got a whole ass night of WrestleMania left to go. All right, let's get back to your messages here. Who does Io fight next after she wins? Fuck if I know. What are you asking me for? I'm just telling you who I think is going to come out on the winning side. Holiday 197. Hey, Solo, they need to have star power to the World Heavyweight Championship match for next year's WrestleMania, and they should really try to elevate that belt. The World Heavyweight title matches for the last two WrestleManias have felt like afterthoughts. Well, that's because the WWE Championship is their number one title. Always has been, always will be. That will always get the main focus. Because that is the more established of the two titles. Base Beer is Grande Americano, second man to win with a headbutt at WrestleMania. St. Clair says if Shawn Michaels was clean and healthy for WrestleMania 15 to 18, what matches could we have gotten? I'm thinking Triple H at 15, Jericho at 16, Angle at 17. Let me put this back on here. Angle at 17. It may be Hall or Nash at 18. Yeah, all of that sounds great. Maybe they could have convinced him to work with The Rock. I know back then he really didn't want to work with Shawn, but if Vince wanted to do the match, we could have gotten Shawn Michaels and The Rock at WrestleMania, potentially. Rizzo, when does Becky Lynch start getting the same criticism that Charlotte gets for coming back just to get a title shot? Well, she already is, obviously. Base Beerus, I'm telling you, Cole is buzzed. He is slurring. Is he? I didn't notice. Sounded fine to me. The real CS, I don't know about you, Solo, but I'm getting tired of seeing a Tower of Doom superplex in every multi-man match. Both companies do it. Both companies do a lot of things that annoy me. Josh Worthington, I had a strong feeling Heyman was going to turn on Punk and Roman. Night one was a good show. Hope night two turns out the same level. No, I hope night two turns out to be better than what we got tonight. Holiday says that ending was pure cinema. I believe they are setting up for Roman against Seth next year at WrestleMania to complete their rivalry. The turn of Heyman is just the latest chapter. Otherwise, night one was pretty mid. And again, the reason I'm not scrolling here, just so you know, I'm not up to these super chats yet. So I didn't forget to scroll. We just had a lot of early ones here. So let's get through them. The Real CS says, "This fire burns." That was fucking awesome. Yeah, it's a great song. I love it. Bass Beerus says, WrestleMania 31 and 41. Rollins with the heists. So whose woman will he steal at WrestleMania 51? We've got Do Not. Tiffany is going to need DMD tonight. Solid match and showed that Stratton can hang. Project Libertad, Jay winning was so ass. I would rather have Moxley hold the AEW title for another year than see this yeeting hack hold a title. Rikishi is a piece of crap for trying to make this a reality. Well, you lost all credibility with me when you argued for another year of Jon Moxley with the AEW title. You can fuck right off with that, Project Libertad. But as far as the rest of it, look, I already told you why Jey Uso is in that spot. You don't have to like it. A lot of people don't. I don't think it's going to be a long reign. But this was the natural ending of that story. This is where it was always going to end. Irenzo. Matches were decent but felt more like a glorified standard PLE than a WrestleMania. Feels like they winged it. Hope Night 2 delivers. The comedic genius, LA versus Fatu and main event were the best matches tonight. Jamie Dorsch. Did anyone else feel like the main event was the only good match tonight? I just found the show boring. At least the main event delivered. Yeah, the show as a whole was not great. Main event was great. Show as a whole was not. We got Schmidt. Schmidt is coming in. Roman has 4 main event duds, but 6 excellent. Brock at WrestleMania 31, Triple Threat at WrestleMania 37, Cody at WrestleMania 39, both nights of WrestleMania 40, and now WrestleMania 41. 60 out of 40, not bad at all. That's a pretty good batting average. I'm debating if the one against Undertaker or the 34 match with Brock was the worst. Even 35 with McIntyre, it was just a mid-card match. Roman had just announced that he was in remission from the leukemia, so they didn't really have a lot of time to set anything up for him. The match was okay. It wasn't anything special. But easily the worst matches that he's ever had at WrestleMania are 33 and 34. Probably the Undertaker match was worse. I think that probably is the worst. But 34 was pretty garbage too. Poppy says the Grande Americano match was fun, but it would have been great to get the 619 into the loaded mask. Yeah. And I'm sure they were going to do that spot too.
Wake up! The Joneses are redoing their garden! Love that porcelain paving and all that fencing. I knew it. They've been with their landscaper deducing. A mini digger. No wonder she was so smug at Zumba. Right, I want a sunken seating area. She won't have that.
For materials, tool hire, timber and paving. Don't waste time. Deucin's got the lot.
Like Tiralis porcelain paving from only £22 per square metre. Love it.
All trade prices exclude VAT at 20%. So now you can keep up with the Joneses.
And the Evanses.
And the Patels.
Venom Kitetsu. Love to flaunt him. I love to watch him. I love to pick him. And I'm going to kick him. Because I'm an ass man. Okay. Venom Kitetsu, he is an ass man. SMG Kobe, Seth bought a or brought a flamethrower to a no DQ match just to win with a chair. Maybe he does need a wise man. Well, he's got one now. That's a good point, actually. He could probably use a good wise man. Now he's got one. We're almost there. We're almost caught up here to the screen. We got Chris O'Neill. Jay is drunk as fuck on the post show. I gotta check this out later. Javier. I'm very conflicted. On the one hand, I love the Charlotte Tiffany match because it was so hard hitting and physical, but in the other, I don't want to see them ever again in the ring together. Very awkward. Yeah, I was torn. Like it felt like a real battle, you know, especially Tiffany that she was in. But I was bored by the match. I just didn't think the match was that great. I've seen both women have much better matches before. All right, David Thiering with a pair of $50 super chats here. Says, let's get this review started nice and hot. After the Yes Movement at WrestleMania 30 and Kofi Mania at WrestleMania 35, now Yeet Mania is running wild with Jey Uso finally winning the title by tapping out Gunther. Also, what in the world did we just witness in the main event? Top to bottom, I felt night one tonight wasn't the best overall, but will possibly, outside of the main event of night two, have the most talked about ending of the entire weekend. Let's see what happens tomorrow night. I just feel like the ending of night one is going to somehow tie into the ending of night two. Or it would be kind of cool if it did. Trill Mexican says, Solid Monster loves me. He played Back to Love for my 37th birthday. The night is made. Just left the local show and met Elijah Burke. So now on my way home to listen to Back to Love and Solo. You know, I had you in mind. As soon as I picked the song, I said, oh man, Troll Mexican's going to love this. I didn't know it was your birthday, though. Happy 37th birthday. Duff's Vids, what's the difference between Wuhan and Vegas? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Too soon?
You suck.
Oh man, Kate Love, thank you, Kate, for the $20 super chat. Much love to you. Thank God. Joey Jojo Jr. Didn't watch WrestleMania, but stopping by to support Solid Monster. Happy WrestleMania weekend. Thank you for the support, Joey, and thank you for hanging out with us tonight. We had upwards of 4,200 in here before. This has been quite the night. Zizu with a gifted membership. Duff's Vids. I used to work as a programmer for AutoCorrect. They tried me for no reason. Reborn Bladder, not every mania can be 40. Expecting more tomorrow. If I had never seen a Brett match in his prime, where do I start? Glad my name cracked last week. You will always be the Reborn Bladder to me. And honestly, I hope one day I can be reborn as a bladder. I know it says blader, but to me, you will always be Reborn Bladder. You want to start with the Brett match. I think you picked the match that went into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Brett and Austin, WrestleMania 13. Can't go wrong with that. If not that one, Brett Owen, WrestleMania 10. The Carlosis. There's a lucky Las Vegas dentist about to experience tippy time. Duff's Vids, I found out I'm colorblind. The news came out of the purple. Oh, that's awful. That's a bad one. Do not. How is a girlfriend like a laxative? They both irritate the crap out of you. See, now that's more like it. That's more like it. Hey, Paris, thank you for the channel membership. I hope you enjoy your stay. Duff's Vids, there's only one thing that... there's only one thing that beats a girl with an amazing voice. Oh, I'm not reading that one. That's awful. That's awful, and you're an awful person. Ed K says, so proud of Jacob after seeing his work in MLW at 2300 Arena up until now. It was amazing to see the year. Best debut year since. Best debut year? Oh, I mean, there have been some good debut years. I don't know that anybody, can beat the debut year. I always think of Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar. Find me two better debut years than those two had. Those are still the best as far as I'm concerned. Jerome Eugenio hanging out with us tonight. Poppy with the membership. David Thiering, oh my God, look at this. 20 gifted memberships for David Thiering. That's 20 new members right there, just in one shot. Duff's Vids, two cannibals are eating a clown. One says to the other, does this taste funny to you? We got RDS Rebel, 8 months of membership. Anybody shocked that Rollins walked out with Paul wasn't paying attention to body language, and those hating on Jey Uso don't see how over he is? You know, I don't know that it's a matter of, you know, them necessarily not seeing how over he is. I just think they don't care because they just don't think he's that great. And that's fine. But it's the people who just, there are people who just, they don't understand why WWE would put the world title on him. And those are the people where it's like you said, like, are you not paying attention? Are you not listening? Are you not watching? You can't pretend to not understand why they would put the world title on him. It's very obvious why. Alfonso, not going to lie, NXT Stand and Deliver was better than WrestleMania Night 1. Besides the main event and the luchadors, everything felt boring. Hopefully Night 2 is better. I did see Stand and Deliver, and it was an enjoyable show. As a show, top to bottom, yeah, it was better than WrestleMania Night 1. 8-9 Tech. Will Meh Event J get the Ray treatment from 2006? I think Ray was just constantly being jobbed. I don't necessarily think it's going to be that bad. But again, I don't think it's going to be a long run. Retro KOH, you never know how much your work may mean to people. Thank you for everything you do. I really need tonight's stream. Hope everybody is doing well. Well, I don't know what's going on, but hopefully it's nothing too serious. And I hope you're doing okay. Thank you, Retro. And thank you, Mike, for the sub. Arkham Assassin with the membership. And Joe is the man. Was it really necessary for them to start the show by having Triple H in the ring with his arms in the air while Bow Down to the Game plays? Yes, he thought it was, apparently. He really wants you to know that this is the Paul Levesque era of WWE. You should know this by now. We got Mo Guns Jackson with the $50 Super Chat. Now solo. He says, we both New Yorkers. You forgot to say pause during that entire low blow recap. He got deep all up in here. His nasty word. He did. Seriously, keep up the amazing work. Can't believe I've been listening to the Sound Off for over 13 years. And they say 13's not a lucky number. Happy to have you, brother. We got episode 910 coming later today. I don't know when, but it's going to have to be before WrestleMania Night 2. We got another one coming. Hey, Mo, thank you, brother. 8-9 Tech, Gunther taps out quick to put his own move over, I guess. That's one way of looking at it. Chaotic. The main event truly felt like WrestleMania. The main event did. The rest of the show did not. Duff's vids. I was watching these two mimes having sex, and they were doing unspeakable things to each other. Tiffany against Flair was very good, but she needs work to be able to call spots better and not be behind on what to do. Next WrestleMania 43 rematch. You're booking out to WrestleMania 43 already? We don't even know where WrestleMania 43 is going to be held. And then look who dropped in with the drive-by here. ABK, the man himself, with a $300 super chat, says, "I'm back." Now, I already read his message, so I'm not going to read it again. I made an exception with him, and I read the message. I'm just happy to see him back and doing well. I'm happy to hear from you. I hope all is well. Maybe he'll drop by again tomorrow night. We got night two. But as I always say, man, all I can do is pay homage to the man himself and say thank you. I just blows me away every single time. Nick Grasso. I think Becky attacked Bayley because if I remember, Bayley in damage control took out Becky with a chair to the arm. And how was... Oh, you know what? That is interesting. And how was Bayley attacked? Chair to the arm. Coincidence. She teams with Lyra and turns on her. Well, if they were going to bring her back as a heel, then you know what? That's how you do it. Yeah, I forgot about that connection there. I think you may be right. I think you may be onto something. Dog lover. Nice cut, Solo. Thank you. I was dying over here. I said, please. Please cut all of this off. I was at the Winnipeg Jets game. Was WrestleMania worth watching? Consider if you already have a Peacock subscription, it's free. So, yeah. You got nothing better going on. Sure. Definitely watch the main event. If nothing else, watch that main event. Do you like playoff hockey? By the way, chop on Braves. I haven't checked today. Where are the Braves in the standings right now? I think they're in the basement, right? I believe so. Do I like playoff hockey? No. Thank you, dog lover. Innuendo. Says, I love you, Solo. Was able to update my subscription yesterday because I knew I could not miss the WrestleMania review. Well, Innuendo, I'm very happy to have you. He's a six-month channel member. Was it Boots? Was it Boots that I saw earlier in the chat that had the blue skull? I don't see a lot of blue skulls in the chat, but I saw one earlier. I was like, man, that's impressive. Mo Guns Jackson, weak WrestleMania build was felt in the matches. It lacked heat. A lot of them lacked heat. Tag title match. Some of the other matches. Peter Mason with a $50 super chat. Hi, Solo. Hope you enjoyed the show. I had a good time. Saw my first Mania live. Well, see, your first WrestleMania live is always fun. If you've never been before, it's always fun. Crowd was hot all night. The main event I enjoyed. Everyone there went nuts for Heyman. Heyman went nuts for Roman. He was balls deep on Roman Reigns tonight. Says everyone there went nuts for Heyman going with Rollins. Was not the best, but being there live made it so much better. I can vouch for that, having been to 8 WrestleManias. especially if it's your first time there. It's a completely different experience. The Winston Slip, thank you for the gifted membership. We got Zachary Black. Solo, my wife called it, dude. There was only one match neither of us got correct, and I am certain you already know the one. Great night one, considering everything. Have a good night, brother. Peace. Thank you, Zachary. Shout out to Zachary and his wife. And then we have another Zachary. Zachary Torres, balls deep into the tribal's chief. Yes. That was Paul Heyman tonight. David says, Jade looked good in her match with Naomi. She continues to get better in the ring. Should she beat Tiffany for the title? She's a future world champ. Well, she may be a future world champion, but no, she should not beat Tiffany for the title. She's not ready for that spot. She is absolutely not ready for that. Too soon. You've heard of too much too soon? You don't want to do too much too soon. I don't think she's ready for that yet. Maybe in 6 months. I would not do that now. Jeremy Rose, Jacob winning equals WWE attaching rocket ship on the way to WrestleMania main event next year. Any chance Kevin Owens' injury is a swerve and he appears tomorrow as Orton's opponent? What percentage do you think Rock appears tomorrow? No, I don't think there's any chance that Kevin Owens, this is a swerve. I think it's 100% legitimate. So he will not be Randy Orton's opponent. There would be no point in even doing this whole gimmick if he was going to be there. And as far as percentage on Rock appearing tomorrow, I'm going to say 90% he appears.
Wake up! The Joneses are redoing their garden! Love that porcelain paving and all that fencing. I knew it. They've been with their landscaper to Jewson. A mini digger! No wonder she was so smug at Zumba. Right, I want a sunken seating area. She won't have that.
For materials, tool hire, timber and paving. Don't waste time. Jewson's got the lot.
Like Tiralis porcelain paving from only £22 per square metre. Love it!
All trade prices exclude VAT at 20%. So now you can keep up with the Joneses.
And the Evanses.
And the Patels.
So Tiffany posted on Instagram that she still has all of her teeth. No chipped tooth from the looks of it. Maybe it was lipstick maybe that rubbed off on her. I don't know. I mean, it looked bad. So, okay, that's great. Good for her. That always makes me very queasy. Like, I try to imagine if that were, like, if you put yourself in that position, I just always think of the Cesaro injury in that tag match where he got all of his teeth knocked out. Like, oh, God, how awful that must have been. Ross Lawman, Gunther bathes in Jay's twins' brother's blood. So naturally, the match starts with a collar and elbow tie-up. Main event saved day one, but Tiffy and Charlotte, match of the night. I don't know. We'll have to agree to disagree on that. I just wasn't feeling it. Bobby's World with the $100 bomb. Shout out to everybody saying that Gunther and Phoenix are buried. LOL. Phoenix, yeah, I can't take anybody seriously who says that. Says Phoenix especially. Short notice, good match. Gable cheated. Phoenix is absolutely going to be fine. Says, I agree mid-show, but I enjoy Jay and Gunther, Charlotte and Tiffany, and the main event was awesome. Still rather be here. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you very much. Duff's Vids, where do people go if they get injured playing peekaboo? The ICU. We got Fire Panda with a 50. Flair versus Tiffany was a clusterfuck, but not in the way I was hoping for. -5 stars. Main event was great and JR would be going apeshit for the Heyman turn. Oh my God, can you imagine prime JR? Like JR 25 years ago calling that Heyman turn at the end of the match? Spartan Sprinkles, they should have just said fuck it and had El Grande and Orton put on a 30-minute mat classic. Yes, but El Grande has to win. He's not beating Orton, so you can't do it. He has to win. 8-9 Tech, I have to ask, did Punk make Roman look strong? He did, always. Always have to make Roman look strong. Scotty Clash. Seth will cost Cody Knight too, and Paul never got rid of the phone he had with The Rock. Paul has talked with Rock the entire time. This is Rock's plan. We'll find out shortly. Find out if you're right. Arabian Knight, how do you have 7 matches on a card and 4 of the 7 were under 10 minutes? Filler galore on this show. Sadly, Michael Cole was right. This ain't a pro wrestling company. Well, they were saving all their time for the main event because of those long-ass entrances. Javier, I really marked out when This Fire Burns played. Keep up the good work. I love you, Solo. Thank you, Javier. Yeah, it's a great song. Made me realize I haven't heard it in a while before tonight. Chris Jester with a 1999. Solo, I had your sign at Wembley, but had knots and friends at... couldn't get a sign on camera. Wembley was far superior from a fan and... was so dumb. I'm trying to... I think your super chat got fucked up. I'm trying to translate this here. Couldn't get a sign on camera. Wembley was far superior from a fan. M ring was so dark, could barely see. We had to chant to get spotlight sight off. Okay, so what I got out of that was he brought a sign. Couldn't get it on camera. And he had a light in his face. See, now that, I know that pain. That actually happened to me at the last WrestleMania I went to. I missed an entire AJ Styles-Randy Orton match because of that fucking light. Thank you for representing the sound off, though, Chris. Even though you didn't get it on TV, I still love it. Hey, Gabe, thank you for the membership. Scotty. Seth and Cena will have both world titles, both having sold their souls to The Rock. Possibly Drew being in Rock's spot since he won't be there. Oh, like in a match? Yeah, I could see that. Like if they do a 6-man. Gabe says, all about the Swollo Monster Night 2 main event. I'll be parked right here so I can go live as soon as it's over. King Nader, happy mania, Solo. Happy mania, King Nader. Thank you for all the bombs tonight, man. I appreciate it. Gotta save some for tomorrow. Boots. My goodness, Boots. The $250 bomb. We have ABK tonight. We have Boots right behind him. We got a lot of people competing for... real estate up top. Boots, no message, just showing love. Thank you, brother. Holiday 197, I think Jay will be the victim of the men's Money in the Bank cash-in and lose the World Heavyweight Championship in the next 3 to 6 months. Dominic Mysterio could be a good option for Mr. Money in the Bank. He's not winning the world title, though. I got Dom winning the Intercontinental title. Just like his father. Just like Eddie Guerrero. Scotty Clash, I say Drew, since he signed with Project Rock. An unholy alliance with Cody, Punk, and Roman will form. This makes too much sense to me. It's wild. Well, sometimes that which you believe makes the most sense isn't necessarily what we get. So let's see what happens tomorrow night. The real CS says Dean/Mox is the only one to have not betrayed Roman. The Shield are future Hall of Famers. Roman, Seth, and Dean call it quits. I guess he means when they call it quits. Yeah, they're all going into the Hall of Fame. Reconson, do you think 2020 to 2025 is the craziest five-year span in wrestling history besides 98 to 02? Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you, brother. Yeah. I mean, when you consider they ran shows in front of no fans and that whole period, and then just all of the crazy news and partnerships and purchases and WWE being sold and the Vince stuff. Absolutely. It's been insane. We got Sci Guy. See, I said it right this time. Even though you wrote it in there, I said it right. Sci Guy is here. What's up, Solo? Why, Heyman, why? Should be an interesting promo on Monday night. It makes Raw must-see. I would open the show with that. Have him and Seth standing in the ring. Dorenzo with the $25 super chat. Thought the show was just fine, although before Jacob's match, I was having a hard time keeping my eyes open, but a couple of matches were pretty good. Very excited for the women's triple threat. Hope EO wins. I believe that's opening the show tomorrow night. I think that's going to be a kick-ass match. Dirty Sanchez. The thing I hated about the Jay and Gunther match is the collar and elbow tie-up. Groan. I hated it when Cena did that. Yeah, I mean, when you have like a personal feud like that, and then they start out doing chain wrestling or, you know, moves like that, there's a disconnect there. I agree. King Nader, may as well hear all the 100 booms. That's when he triggered the last... The Joe Hendry super chat, that scared me. What's my favorite Freddie Prinze Jr. movie? I Know What You Did Last Summer. The Juliet Meltzer is saying Rey Mysterio tore his groin. See, okay, so that makes sense. Because I couldn't really see there being a leg injury when he got pulled out of the ring by Julius. A groin injury makes sense. A groin injury is also very, very painful. That's how we got Triple H in 2003 with the biker shorts. Alex with the 25. Great review. I think we will get a night two that will somehow, some way top last year's. My gut feeling is telling me an Austin and Rock face-off and the beginnings of the Corporation 2.0. Thank you, Alex. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. Paul Heyman is the modern-day Bobby Heenan, a snake in a weasel. Can we now say Seth is a fucking heel now? I think we can, yes. I think we can officially call him a heel. We got Dirty Sanchez here. How can you make a tissue dance? Put a little boogie in it. It's like a virus. It's like a virus that continues to spread. Nick Grasso with WWE buying AAA. What happens with people like Alberto Del Rio and Marty Scurll? I have no idea. We have very little details now. Don't know. But I certainly don't see WWE using them for any sort of Worlds Collide type show. Aaron, joining late. Just want to say thank you for your dedication. I'm going to try to tune in tomorrow night, hoping we get a Cena win and a huge angle. That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm hoping for. We got Ron. How would you rank the four women in the NXT title match based on main roster potential? I think Stephanie Vaquer is going to fucking kill it on the main roster. I think Jordynne Grace is going to kill it on the main roster. I think Julia is going to do very well. But I would still put her... I would put her behind Stephanie and Jordynne. Like, if I had to rank them in order? I'm going to go Stephanie, Jordan, Julia, and then Jada Parker. But I think all four of them, once they get called up, and Jada's pretty good. She's not as experienced or as good as the other three, but I think they all have great potential on the main roster. All three of them. Or four of them. Aaron Tucker. Happy 420 to all who celebrate almost my year anniversary of listening. Glad to have found you. Keep up the good work. Proud of Jacob. Sick mask. Man, I'm telling you, they got to get that mask on the shop website. Wink the Cosmic Grandma. They better start sending young talent to Japan because these young wrestlers are just worse and worse every generation. I don't know, you should have watched the NXT show today. It was pretty good. 8-9 Tech, Triple H gave Foley the credit he deserved in the Hall of Fame. Unlike The Undertaker in his Hall of Fame speech, where he didn't mention Mick Foley at all. D-Zilla, don't mind Gunther's losing, but he tapped too quick. Yeah, it was quicker than it should have been. Aaron, want to say thank you for what you do. Watching you after 14 years has changed my wrestling fandom. Excited for the stream tomorrow night. Well, thank you, Aaron. Aaron's one of the good ones. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you and everybody else tomorrow night. DiRenzo, Jacob fought two against Bron Breakker. Feels like a future WrestleMania main event. I just know that match would slap. Hey, we had that little face-off. Remember they had a face-off on Raw many months ago and you heard the crowd. So imagine you build them up a little bit more over the next couple of years. You put them in a WrestleMania match, how big that could be. It's going to be big. Kenneth with the 30, never been able to catch you during your live. Oh, we read Kenneth's already. So I won't read it again, but Kenneth, thank you for the 30. Brandon Vasquez, I live in Arizona, and I thought about making the drive for the show. Glad I didn't. Show was boring. The main event saved it from historically being bad. BCOM, see clearly. Why make Gunther tap? And one day... Well, he also tapped to Ilya Dragunov. It's not the first time he's tapped. And one day we'll get that AEW WWE All-In WrestleMania Super Show headlined by the stars of both shows. He says, smoking good tonight. I was going to say, you must be smoking the good stuff. Bones Jones. Fingers crossed for Mysterio against Vikingo at Worlds Collide in LA. See, after the angle they did tonight, I'm actually thinking Vikingo and El Grande Americano. But Mysterio and Vikingo would be good too, as long as they could both stay healthy. And I do believe I am all caught up with all of your messages, which means that we can now move over to be the booker, because we got two rounds coming. But first, let me take this super chat here from Brandon Vasquez with a 5. I think night 2 will be better. I'm hoping Cody can pull a WrestleMania classic from Cena. He hasn't had a great match in years. I don't remember the last great match that John Cena had. It's been a very long time. But with the light shining bright, his very last WrestleMania, 17 world titles, right? They built that whole story up. If ever there was a time for him to go out there and try to have the best match that he's had in years, it's tomorrow night. And Cody is a great person for him to share the ring with, because Cody, I don't think Cody gets enough credit, honestly, for the matches that he has. So he's got a great opponent in the ring. We'll see what happens. There he is. There they are. BCOM, see clearly with the 2. I want Ospreay against Triple H's hand-picked opponent. You want Ospreay against Triple H's hand-picked opponent? Well, you're going to be waiting a while. be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Right. Trey Jones says, let him book. Not let him cook. It's let me book. Let's be the booker. All right, we're going to do two rounds. So we're going to start here. Regular matches. This is like our WrestleMania night one, night two. Let's see if we can book a better night one than WWE did. It's the bar, which it sounds like that's where Jey Uso was after his title match tonight. Sheamus and Cesaro, who were quite a great team together. We have the bar taking on the Nasty Boys. I kind of want to add a stipulation to this now. Fuck it, I'm just going to add one. The bar and the Nasty Boys in an exploding barbed wire death match. I mean, just for the chaos. Just for the chaos of it. I would love to see that. Hey, we got Sheamus on the... That's right, ZMR. We got Sheamus on the card. I booked Sheamus. I did the one thing Triple H could not do. All right, on the women's side, we have Riho. Oh, Riho. Whatever happened to Riho? Riho against Mia Yim. I said we're booking a WrestleMania card. That's not a WrestleMania match. I'm sorry. We could do better. Oh, my God. Just in time for the AAA purchase, it is Alberto Del Dipshit. WWE buys AAA, and look who has infected our main event. It is Alberto Del Dipshit. I don't believe it. All right, round two. I had to buzz it. I'm sorry. I'm just not in the mood. I had to buzz that. That's just ridiculous. So now we move on to round two. We're just moving on to round two. I'm not even picking an opponent. All right, so these matches get stips. And why don't we start with the women's match? How about we do that? Women's match is going to be a hardcore match. All right, so that's what it's going to be. We got a hardcore women's match with Jordynne Grace, the former TNA Knockouts champion, who is definitely going to be on the ascent when she hits the main roster. And she is going to be in a hardcore match against Mayu Iwatani. Now that's a great one. That's a great match right there. Mayu Iwatani and Jordynne Grace in any kind of match, but in a hardcore match. I'll put that on my WrestleMania card. All right, we're kicking off night two in the best possible way. I love it. All right. We need a tag team stipulation. It will be a tag team first blood match. All right. Tag team first blood featuring Money Incorporated, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and IRS. You know, it's April 20th now, and I hope you all paid your taxes. Money Inc., though, in a first blood match against Techno Team 2000. Techno Team 2000. And the main event. a TLC match. So before you get it on SmackDown next Friday, you got to hear. See, I did what Triple H could not do. I booked a TLC match on night two of WrestleMania. With the American Nightmare, the WWE champion, who I have now booked in the night two main event. How about that? Cody Rhodes. How eerie is that? ZOMG, I did read it. You got to go back and listen. I did read it. Thank you, brother. I didn't get it. I didn't really understand it. I didn't get the punchline, but I read it. All right, Cody Rhodes. In a TLC match at WrestleMania, night two, against Mantar. Mantar in the WrestleMania main event in a TLC match. You know, as good of a worker as Cody Rhodes is, he's not a miracle worker. And there is only so much that the man can do. I mean, just look at this. Just look at this. What am I supposed to do with this? Can you imagine, by the way, how hilarious it would be, like the image of Mantar in this fucking costume standing on top of the ladder as it slowly tips over and he goes, you get a flying Mantar through the air. I should have given it the bell just for that. I was hoping to give you a better main event, especially here on this big WrestleMania night one. I have failed you. And Launchpad, I thought Mania Night 1 sucked, he said. It was not great. The main event was great. Nothing else was really great. Let us hope that they can do better on Night 2. It all comes down to that. And hey, Dirty, what's going on? Would you ever do a Be the Booker of your top donators? Well, they are not. They would have to be in it. I would need some kind of photo. Then it just gets silly. Probably not. I would think about it, but probably not. I do need to update it, though. There's some new... I have to put El Grande Americano in there. So I do have to put some new ones in there. And St. Clair, Solo just left WrestleMania. It was a great show to me. Well, because you were there. It's always better when you're there. I'm glad you had fun. Flying Mantar. See, you may have had fun at WrestleMania, but you didn't have Flying Mantar fun at WrestleMania. You want a WrestleMania moment. There you go. Speaking of WrestleMania, there it is. There's the thumb for Night 2, the review coming live on YouTube tomorrow night. John Cena and Cody Rhodes. John Cena's last stand, and then the triple threat match for the Women's World Championship, which could very well steal the show. There's some good stuff on that card, and I'm looking forward to you coming on back and joining me for the review, because I will be here tomorrow night, and we get to do it all over again. Always exciting. Thank you for the love and support. Every WrestleMania weekend is usually the biggest, honestly, the biggest weekend of the year. And you guys blew me away tonight. We got one more night and a podcast is coming your way as well. Episode 910. It is not recorded or anything. I'll be waking up in the morning, having breakfast, and then I'll be recording. I'll be working all day. So keep your ears and eyes peeled. Of course, you could subscribe on Spotify, Apple, all the usual places, Spreaker, of course. And so when it goes up, it will push out. And you will know there is a lot to go over. So I hope you will join me for all the content. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a good rest of your night. I'm going to try to get a little bit of sleep, and I will see you back here for WrestleMania Night 2 in just a few hours. Until then, take care, guys.